share with you something that happened here today. I did what is called a satellite radio tour. And it's kind of fun. You go in the radio studio and put on the earphones. And they patch you in via satellite, in this case, to 10 different radio stations in Boston and Chicago and Washington and St. Louis, all around the country. And I got to two guys in Washington, D.C. on WJFK AM. They're on the air there from 3 until 6, and they're also syndicated to about 40 other radio stations. So it was a good shot for us, you know, to promote this show. And their names are Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. So before we started, they were testing the satellite to make sure that they could hear me back in Washington and I could hear them in Southern California. And here's what I hear in the earphones. Channel 44, no good. Channel 42, no good. Channel 46, no. Screw the satellite, we'll do the phone. And and then you hear one guy say, you know, here with our technology, we're on the verge of the door to the 21st century, and the door is locked. Very funny, guys. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara, they've got a campaign going on in D.C. on their radio show, which is called Turn Off Your Television Set. And judging by some of the ratings there, this campaign is having enormous success.
There's one I have no idea what he's saying. Anyway, there's one
oh my god. Ray, you know most husbands like cuddling with their wives.
Oh, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, nobody likes that. Nobody. The only time a guy likes cuddling is if he thinks it's gonna lead to
now, Doris Roberts, and you know, I've seen you on so many shows.
I love this guy. Yeah. Oh, my God.
And I love you too, Doris, okay. And I want to ask you an upfront question.
Sure.
Would you consider having sex with me?
Now, hold on. We're asking a legitimate question.
If John and Mike, you know, I heard you were having a party, and you're trying to get me to go, but I'm not going to go if there's no fucking ZD, because, you know, it's just not going to happen. Thank you very much.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish. Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Never thought I'd say this, but boy, am I glad to be back in these crappy studios.
Oh, yeah. It's home.
This crappy radio station. Right. Oh, studio, please, attention, time. It's time for Phil Hochberg, stadium announcer.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Rob Spiewak.
That's Phil. He loved the gift I brought him from Wichita.
What was that?
It was a piece of duct tape with hair on it.
Oh!
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Director of First Impressions and all the ships at sea. And now, a radio program with more warmth than an Elston father-son chat. It's the Don and Mike show.
Thank you for listening. Coast to coast, nationwide, still via Vestvoetvan, darling. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara, right here. Don and Mike show coming to you today.
Hi again, fellas.
Today, from our flagship station, WJFK-FM, Washington, D.C., we are brought to radio stations around the country via the auspices of Westwood One. And every day, over 6 million people listen to the show, and we thank you for your patronage.
Hallelujah!
No thanks, of course, to Big Al, your radio pal, Jeremy the Gerbil, Big Daddy Mel, Donald Monkey Boy. From here he is, subject of a soon-to-be-produced after-school special on ABC.
Yes. Why doesn't my daddy love me?
Here is Michael J. Burbank. Hello, Buzz.
How about a hug?
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Here is our friend, Buzz. And hello, everybody.
Monday.
Mark 20.
Does it seem like we were all just together a few hours ago?
Because we were.
That's correct.
Phone number, same as it was last time, 1-877-365-3636. Lots of your telephone calls today. We will spend a brief amount of time reviewing our wonderful 29 hours in Wichita. Not that I was counting, but that's how long we were there. 29 hours.
It was a whirlwind of activity.
And the Las Vegas-style show on Friday night. What did we tell you?
Yeah.
Went off without a hitch. Yep. Well, all right.
One of the best ever, really. We have to be honest. I mean, yes, we did go to Wichita. Yes, we were complaining about Wichita, but I'll tell you, it was one of the best we've ever done.
One girl got naked right at the very end.
Yes, and it was whisked away. Whoops. Never to be seen again.
Not sure what happened to her. Not sure if she had her head cut off and sent back home in a duffel bag.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that security guy, though, legs kicking. Oh, get her off the stage.
There certainly was enough cops. There were enough security people.
She won, too. The lady that was taken away won.
Congratulations.
Enough TV trucks there, for goodness sake. It was the biggest gosh darn story in the history of Wichita. And we want to thank everybody that came out to the Cotillion.
Oh, yes.
Place holds 2,000. They turned away about 1,000 more people who showed up at the door. Sorry about that.
It was kind of surreal. It was a very, very strange experience. We were, you know, it was a misty, gray night in Wichita. You know, we were whisked over there, then we went into the building, and then we were out into this silo of a room. It was incredible. It really was.
Yeah, it was like a big freaking grain silo that we were in.
I love the place.
The giant, I guess they have rodeos and stuff in there.
Would you not agree that for that many people, and the way the stage was set up, it was kind of like perfect for what we do. It was a big, giant stage. Mm-hmm. We had plenty of room for everybody to wander around, and we had a terrific time.
Yes, it was quite an excellent time. We want to thank everybody that showed up. Boy, oh boy, am I glad. You know, everything gets put in perspective when you go out of town.
Oh, yes.
What I mean is that, you know, most times we bitch about this station, we bitch about the people here.
Yep.
All you got to do is go out of town to go to another radio station for one day to realize how much we like it here.
Well, you know, I'll tell you one of the...
where nobody talks to us.
I think one of the main reasons... It's one thing to have...
By nobody, I mean nobody in the programming department.
Right. It's one thing to have one radio station in a building with one radio station and a sales staff for one radio station. Right. When you put like 5, 6, 7 in one building... that's just trouble. Yeah.
You know, and this Jeremy Coleman, this gerbil we have, the program director we have here, he's a pain in the ass, no doubt about it. However, compared to the Nazi in Wichita...
Absolutely.
You know, the Nazi in Wichita was hovering around the studio...
Getting his fingers into everything.
Was walking in all the time, wanted to just wanted to muck it up. Mm-hmm. You know, I was so glad to come back today, and when Jeremy came into the office... You know, God love him, the little gerbil, he's petrified of us, which is the way the relationship between disc jockeys and program directors should be.
It'd be wonderful if it was all like
that. You know, he's afraid to even come in the office all the way. He just did that deal today, his body language, where he was just hanging on the door frame.
Yeah, just really waiting to bungee himself out of the office again.
And all he does, he just hangs in and goes, hi, how is everything in Wichita? How is everything?
Sounded good. Okay, goodbye.
When are you coming to New York? 2 weeks. Okay, goodbye. Boom! And he's gone. And he's gone, gone, gone.
That's the way we like it, though. I mean, it's just, you know, we're all a lot more relaxed right here. We don't have to deal with conference rooms, with clients parading through the hallways, and with, you know, with people that are giving us weird looks as we give them weird looks.
But the people that matter most, the people that listen to the show, or the people that came out to the Cotillion, could not have been finer, and that I truly, truly do mean.
I said on stage that night, and I mean it, that was the first time in Wichita where we were totally comfortable, is when we were standing up on the stage with like 2,800 people in the crowd, because we knew those were the only people that understood what we were dealing with.
Right. Yes, bingo.
It was weird, but it's true.
Bingo. All
very
right.
Strange.
Let's start today's show. I know we have some calls from Wichita, and that we do have some stuff to tell you about our trip back.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to also discuss our driver.
Yes.
I want to discuss how funny it was to see Buzz in a pickup truck.
Oh, my God.
I want to talk about the strained relationship between Buzz and his father.
Of course.
Lots of stuff. We got some TV coverage in Wichita that we'll play for you.
Oh, good.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, I just want to call and tell you guys thank you very much for coming to Wichita. Me and my husband really enjoyed the show. It was great.
Oh, good.
Glad you did.
You were part of that throng?
Yes, we were. And like I said, it was great. We're originally from Tulsa, but we're kind of coping with Wichita. We've been here 3 years.
Do you have any trouble getting out of that parking lot?
We're trying to get out.
It's still there.
Still there.
We're still here. I want to thank you guys.
Oh, you're very sweet. Thank you very much. We loved, you know, we hated the people generally that we met at KFH in the programming department. and our driver that we had was a big pain in the ass.
Right.
And getting there is a pain in the ass. The only thing that made it worthwhile was, thank God, the people that listen to the show every day and the people that came to the show on Friday night, they made it really worthwhile.
That was the best time we had in Wichita, and I guess if you're doing that and you're trying to have a good time and you the best time you have is on stage with all the people there, that's the best thing that can happen.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
This is Larry from Wichita. I wanted to congratulate you on a great show. It was a lot of fun. And I'd also like to thank Dennis Murphy because just because he was there, I was able to see some gorgeous autographed breasticles.
Oh, Dennis was autographing girls' boobs?
Yeah, baby.
Oh, good old Dennis.
Dennis, you know, the people of Wichita really love Dennis.
We have a missing person, too, don't we? Homo Joe.
He did not show.
MIA, and everybody, you know, understood that he had made travel arrangements. He had his ticket, and he was supposed to be in Wichita.
Rob, call the area hospital.
I'm scared.
Oh, God. You know, always worry about Joe. He's, you know, he's so sexually active at all.
Yes, and call them in Wichita.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi there.
Oh, man, you have changed my life forever. Thank you for coming.
That's a Wichita accent right there. I we spent enough time there where I can discern the real, don't you think?
Got it.
He's got the real Wichita accent.
Absolutely.
I am still turgid.
That was, I want to tell you something, that was the standard Las Vegas-style show with the absence of nudity. Mm-hmm. Imagine if we weren't in such a bass-ackward city as Wichita,
sure,
where they don't allow any nudity at all.
Right.
Imagine that same show that you guys saw if there could have been naked people.
And I'll tell you, you know, one of my favorite parts of the show is something that you just ad-libbed. You came up with it the last second to do the Carol Burnett thing where we had the lights turned up and just took questions from the crowd.
It was great.
What
and
the
it
hell?
Was, it was fun. I had a blast. It was kind of like doing a phone scan and you could look at faces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what the hell? It was an excellent time. Good show. Hope you enjoyed it, my friend.
Thank you so much.
Beautiful. Thank you. Well, see, we made some people in Wichita happy.
Very good.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Yeah, buddy.
Coming to Wichita. My only question is, did Misty ever go to jail, or did she use it for bail money, or what happened?
Well, we're going to rely on Misty's, you know, good humor to give us a call and let us know what happened.
The last girl in the underwear fashion show. Now, we came up with a rather novel way of getting around the rules and regulations.
It's a slam dunk. I mean, we'll do it whenever we have this problem in the, you know, in the future.
In Wichita. Well, what we did was take electrical tape.
Right.
And duct taped, electrical taped, mm-hmm, over girls' boobs.
Mm-hmm.
And if they wanted to take their pants off, down by their gardens.
I think there were one or two that actually duct taped or electric taped their gardens, and it was a wonderful look.
Mm-hmm. And the girl who ended up winning the contest, Misty, she was the last contestant, and she got up on stage. First, she ripped the duct tape off her top, so her boobs were exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And then, very painfully, like a waxing,
yes,
she just took it and ripped it off from down there.
Oh.
And then she just put her arms out.
And that's when the security guard sprinted across the stage, picked her up. I mean, she was tiny, and he picked her up, and she was never seen again.
So we really don't know what happened to her. I don't think that there was any police prosecution.
No.
I think that they
I think they probably just removed her from the stage.
They just asked her to leave. Being as she's the only person that broke the rule. And hey, how about the quality of the women?
Yeah.
We were expecting for the Las Vegas style show.
Yeah.
Frankly, we were expecting a bunch of corn-fed Midwest Kathy Whiteside look-alike.
Absolutely.
And all of the girls on the underwear fashion show were H.O.T. hot.
And you know, those hot amateurs, you know what I mean? The women that just do it on the spur of the moment and hotties. It was a lot of fun, really.
Yeah. It was great. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Misty, she was the big winner.
Yes.
She was a big winner.
Shows the quality of the crowd we had there. I mean, it was a good group of people. You know, they awarded Misty, even though she wasn't there to accept her award.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Gary. I was in your crowd for Wichita on the Underwear Fashion Show.
Who is this? Who
Gary,
is this?
Gary the girl.
Yeah.
Who's in the show.
Oh, hi, baby.
Hi.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Gary.
Well.
Gary.
Gary.
I just wanted to say, you know, you guys had a really good show, and I was very happy to participate in your fashion show.
Is the party still going on for you, Gary? Just out of curiosity. Yeah, it sounds like it.
It was one of the best times I've ever had.
Oh, that's great.
Thank you. Thank you, Gary. Thank you for participating.
Great. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. The party continues well into the week for Gary.
That was Gary. And all of the girls had names. I mean, Frank and
Joe.
Fred. Joe.
Don.
Bill. Hello, Don, my show.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Stacy from Wichita.
Yes, hi, Stacy.
And I was at the Cotillion Friday night.
Right, baby.
And I had a wonderful time. Me and my husband stood out in the rain for 2.5 hours.
Oh, goddamn, do we appreciate that.
Oh,
I
mean, thank you.
Loved it.
It was kind of a crappy night. It was really
thank
a crappy
you for
night.
That.
Yes, and the best part is Dennis Murphy was signing autographs, and me and my husband bought a shirt, and I took it up to him and held it against my chest and asked him to sign it. And he signed the shirt, and then after that, he asked me if he could sign my breasts.
Yeah, and did he sign your breasts?
Yes, he did.
Oh,
I
yeah.
told him to ask my husband, and my husband said yeah.
You know, the one sad thing about our trip to Wichita, I believe Dennis Murphy may have had one of his all-time greatest evenings.
I tell you, they love him there, for whatever
his
reason.
T-shirts.
They love him there.
Yeah, it's. I mean, Dennis paid for his year, basically.
What did he say? He made like
$1,500? Yeah,
$1,500.
The last we talked to him about
yeah.
the with the shirts.
That was when he was on stage.
Right.
For his very brief cameo.
Yeah. But all it took, though, they loved Dennis, and Dennis was, just the happy merchant.
Let me ask you, though,
well,
why
there's
would
more.
You...
There's more.
Oh, there's more.
Yeah, there's more.
Okay.
So I unbuttoned my shirt and pulled my shirt to the side, and he wrote Dennis Murphy on my left breast, and on my right breast, he wrote, I love you. And then he put arrows pointing towards my breasts, and he asked me what size I am, and I told him...
Jesus, how long did this take? I mean, how long did this Michelangelo artwork take on your breast?
Keep in mind, he only has one hand.
Yeah, my God.
It was pretty fast. I think he was pretty excited.
I'm sure he was.
And then when he got done...
No, still more.
And signing, he started kissing him.
Oh,
my husband right there.
He was nursing your breasts?
Well, not nursing, but just kissing around the nipples.
He kissed the nipple?
Above the nipples.
Just around. Did his lips touch nipple at any time?
No, it didn't.
Honey, listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to hang up the phone right now and go get a mammogram. Right now. Because I hate to think that there's some kind of tumor inside you now because you let Dennis Murphy kiss your naked breast.
Well, my husband took a picture, and if you guys want, I'll send it to you.
Is it a picture of your breasts?
Yeah.
Oh, yes,
absolutely. Send it on.
Okay.
All right.
And it's got Dennis Murphy's, I got all the writing on it.
Wonderful.
Okay. We don't really care about that, but if you want to send us a picture of your breasts, absolutely.
Do you have big, beautiful breasts?
Yes, I do.
Wonderful.
Okay.
My husband loves them.
That's great.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was a good story, wasn't it?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
I appreciate the show Friday night. It was great.
Thank you for coming out.
Most fun I ever had on $15.
$15?
Well, for the beer.
For the beer. Thank you. All right. I'm with you.
Did you ever find out what that guy was hollering about the $500 about?
No, you mean that guy was so inebriated it was difficult to understand what he was saying.
That's the wonderful part about our Las Vegas-style shows because without fail, every time we do a show, at some point, some drunk guy just comes right up on stage and just starts screaming at us.
And he wanted to talk about $500 that he'd spent on something, and it made no sense, and no one was understanding it.
No. But that always happens at the show.
That's right.
I'm sure that guy will call in today and try to explain himself. Thank you for coming, though.
All right. Thanks for coming.
All right. And when the guy calls after a show, he'll call with this tone. Hey, guys.
And when he's up on stage, he's like, hey, guys!
What I really meant was...
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello.
You guys nailed it on the dot about Rob A. The Aryan. Looks exactly like him.
Ah.
You mean you're saying that Rob A looks like the perfect Aryan? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no way.
Nailed it on the head.
The perfect Aryan is that guy Tony Dushing, the Nazi program director of KFH.
If you reconsider it, you really don't think Hitler was trying to make them all look like me, do you? I mean, really think that one through.
A little bit slimmer, maybe. But
no. Oh, all right. Well, God bless you, sir. Here's what I want. I want them all to be about 6'2", pear-shaped, very rosy cheeks, and an immense knowledge of useless trivia. Now, go make me 3,000 Robes.
Posters of Robe all over.
Yes, my churro.
Here we go.
Hello. Robin Mike Show. Rob Spiewak, the perfect Aryan man.
Unbelievable.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, come on. Hi.
Hey, love you guys.
No, I love
you. Hey, the gal that ended up winning.
Yes.
She didn't get put in jail. She just got a ticket. And the gal with the duct tape, I had relations with her the night before.
Oh, congratulations.
Now, which girl with the duct tape? Because there was more than one girl came up
with
the
one on her stuff, on her garden.
Oh, you had sex with her the night before?
Yes, I did. And it was awesome, baby.
Yeah, she was cute. You're so proud of it, you want to tell the world.
The blue turtleneck?
Again, not quite sure what you're talking about.
The guy with the blue turtleneck, too, we met her that night.
Sir?
Man, she's
sir,
hot.
You're very, very excited, but I urge you to keep these thoughts to yourself and not share them with a radio audience.
But you only had sex with the one girl, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay, did you get any sex on our show?
No, I wish I did.
Yeah, okay.
I went home and myself, but...
That's uh-huh. good. That's, we once again, well, some of that information you might want to keep to yourself.
That's why we do those shows. Hello.
Turtleneck.
Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Hello, turn your radio down, please.
Okay, hold on.
She'll be right back.
Big knob, turn it to the left.
Okay.
Okay, hello.
Hello.
I still hear something in the background there. Oh, that's someone...
No?
Someone coughing up a lung back
there.
That's
just a creepy cough. Someone's got the creeping crud. Hi, what can we do for you?
This is Misty. I was just calling in. I was the one who won.
Oh, bravo. Congratulations on your victory, Misty.
Misty, the girl who took it all off on stage, who dared to break the local ordinance.
Yeah.
Right. Misty, you just couldn't contain yourself, could you?
I couldn't.
You are the freaking Joan of Arc of Wichita. That's what you are. You're the Lady Godiva of Wichita.
Well, Misty, you tell us what happened. Everything cool? Everything cool with you?
Oh, yeah. They just tried to scare me. They just kicked me out.
They kicked you out, and the guy kind of carried you off the stage, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Well, Missy, you made the show. We knew that there would be at least one girl who would break our rule and break the rule of the City Fathers of Wichita.
But you did, and I'm glad to hear that you're not rotting in some prison somewhere.
Yeah, glad it's not like Midnight Express.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what, Missy? You picked the right time because you were the last girl in the underwear fashion show.
Absolutely.
The last person on stage after a three-hour show. If ever you're going to do it, that's when you do it.
There you go.
Any regrets, Misty?
No, not at all.
Good.
Beautiful. Thank you, honey.
You're welcome.
It was wonderful seeing you naked. It was wonderful seeing every inch of your beautiful milky body.
Oh, my.
Yeah, well, you know, we appreciate it, Misty.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
I think Misty does most of her talking without words.
Hello, so. Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, great show in Wichita. Loved it.
Thank you.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
I'd like your comments on it. The guys, we stay till you go to the second part of the show.
Yeah.
Guys get up on the stage. He gets so sick, he's drunk, and he wants to leave. I want to hear your comments and what you would tell him on that case.
On what? What are you talking about? Are you talking about when we were off stage?
Right. When you went off stage and then came back on.
Yes.
We watched the guys' part of the show.
What are you talking? The guy. You mean
the underwear?
You mean when the guys dance for the underwear fashion show?
Right.
We were on stage when the guys were
dancing.
Right.
Exactly. And then the girls started coming up, and my friend wants to leave. He's sick. He wants to leave.
Now, hold on. Are you saying he vomited?
Yeah, he went in the bathroom and vomited and said he's ready to go.
Okay.
And I'm sitting here arguing with him saying, no, we can't leave Don and Mike hanging, leave me hanging in the middle, you know? Best show on earth, Don and Mike, and he leaves me hanging.
I want to tell you something, that at least in the front row area, I spotted no less than three separate incidents of vomitosis.
Really?
Yeah.
While we
were doing the shows, where guys just would turn and just very nonchalantly and right on the
vomit.
Floor. Yeah, they would just... They'd vomit and then turn around and take another drink.
There were little fisticuffs in the crowd, too.
Yeah, a couple of guys got thrown out because there were some fist fights.
It was rowdy. It was a rowdy Friday night.
Smell of vomit everywhere. All right, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Don Mike.
Whatever. Thank you for coming to the show, my friend.
Call again soon. Make sure you mention that you're the great communicator.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I enjoyed the show Friday.
Glad you did. Thank you.
Stood in line 3 hours because I wasn't a ticket holder.
You got some great people out there. We really appreciate you.
Really appreciate that.
Hey, I think that drunk guy that was screaming about $500 was a KFH sponsor.
You might be right about that.
Well, how nice that would be if he was one of the sponsors and got bombed and came up on stage.
The same guy that was in Back to School, you know, the kid, the red-haired kid that pukes into the trash can. Come on!
best sword and melon. Throw the greatest party of all time.
I'd like to know if that was a sponsor. If anybody knows, I'd love to know if that was a sponsor.
He looked like a sponsor, didn't he?
Yeah, he had that, like the double knit pants on.
Either a sponsor, maybe a sales guy.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Perhaps from one of the many liquor stores.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, baby.
Hello, honey.
Hi, honey.
I was calling because I wanted to say thank you for coming. I had a great time, and because of you coming, I was able to give my husband his birthday present.
And his birthday present was?
Taking him to your show.
Oh, that's wonderful.
He wanted to go really bad, and he didn't think that we would be able to get in, and I took him.
So. And you made it? You got a good seat and everything?
Yep.
Good.
Got a wonderful seat.
All right. Well, I hope you gave him more than just that.
Yes, I did.
Well, I hope you gave him the full non-Toya treatment.
The what?
Do you know what I mean?
No.
Okay. Someone will explain it to you.
And you won't?
Well, all right. Very, very quickly. Toya doesn't like to swallow.
Oh, okay.
So when he when Don said the full non-Toya treatment, that would mean that you did. So we.
I didn't ask Buzz to have you guys say happy birthday to him, but I think it was too late in the show.
I did. I passed along a note, but it didn't get there in time.
But
yes,
what about your husband, honey?
What about my husband?
Did you?
Oh, no.
No. Oh, well, then it couldn't have been a happy birthday.
That'll be a late birthday present. His birthday.
Because that's what every guy wants for his birthday.
His birthday's not until tomorrow anyway.
Oh, well, that's wonderful.
Oh, all right. Well, then make sure you give him that, okay?
I sure will, and I'll tell him it was your idea.
Yes, and make sure. Yes, as you're wiping your chin.
That was Don and Mike.
Right. Tell him that was courtesy of us.
She said with a grin.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hello, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Okay.
Hi there.
I wanted to tell you...
Yes.
Last week while you were here in Wichita, you were talking about how you didn't really anticipate a crowd to be there to cheer for you, but you kind of did want to look and see somebody out there to, you know, to cheer for you and you know, say all their hoorays.
And were you noodling this all through as you struggled to regain control of your Cincinnati Reds?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, say hello to Marge Schott.
Marge Schott is here.
Oh, God, every time I call you do that. What's up with that?
You sound just like her.
What's up with that? That's unreal.
No blacks in my lineup.
Anyway.
I want an all-white lineup. I'm Marge Schott.
Anyway.
That Tony Perez, I don't care what he's batting. Get him out. Put Ray Knight in. Someone called Johnny Bench and Pete Rose. Nice white ball players. Marge Schott.
Oh, my God. I have to go through this every time.
And Schott. Give me another Campbell. Yep. Schottsy, come here, Schottsy. Schottsy, come on, eat the peanut butter. Schottsy, eat the
I'm trying to tell you something.
What?
They wouldn't let us come up. They wouldn't let people come around you. I told them I would volunteer to come to the radio station to wave at you, to just get a glimpse of you. They wouldn't let it happen.
Oh, and we want to thank them for that.
Yeah, no. I mean, we generally, just like when we do the show here, Marge, we like just doing the radio show in seclusion in our fortress of solitude.
Yeah, we're very dysfunctional when we're when we're doing this show. We kind of like to keep it in a small room and have
really?
Very little outside contact. Yeah. Yes,
we couldn't have even stood outside and just got a glimpse or anything.
No, we closed the blinds, honey.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, well, anyway, I still love you, even though, I have somebody that's going to tell me all about the show. I didn't get to go, but...
Oh, I'm sorry you didn't get to go.
Apparently. I wish you could have videoed it and sold a video.
All right, well, maybe another time.
Yeah, I love you, boy.
Reds in 2000.
God bless you, Marge.
You betcha, baby.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Goodbye. Marge Schott, everybody.
Those a-holes always call me Marge Schott.
Hello, Dan.
Yes.
Dan, buddy.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Dan, man.
Hey, I appreciate the show. It was great.
Thank you.
Hats off to Misty. Made the best part.
Mm-hmm. Yep, she made the show. She sure did.
Misty
was a fantastic lady.
She was the surprise of the show. We liked that.
We did, too.
All right, thank you.
And hats off to the guy in the underwear fashion show. He earned his money.
Hats off to everybody at Strickland Propane.
Hello. Taste the heat. Or taste the meat, not the heat.
Thank you, Misty.
Why 107?
I told you, I rent pornography.
Oh, crazy morning zoo. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Love you guys. Thanks so much for coming out. I'm one of your biggest fans in Wichita.
Thank you, my friend.
I was very proud to see that we had little or no gay men in the audience that wanted to participate in the gay acts that were going on.
Ladies and gentlemen from Wichita, please make welcome Johnny Homophobia.
Hi, Johnny.
Johnny Homophobia
is on
the line.
Even though there were very few gay men in the crowd, that is the first time we've ever had a three-way male gay kiss going. So in some ways, Wichita is the gayest city we've ever performed in.
What do you think of that, Johnny?
Pretty strange. I was the guy that blew up the condom and threw it out in the audience. I was kind of right out in front of you.
Right.
Sorry to say that.
Wonderful.
A little too drunk to remember some of your show.
Yeah,
but
wonderful.
But I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Shocker. Thank you. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, my friend.
All right. Goodbye, my friend.
Bye, my friend.
Obviously, that homophobic quadrant of his brain is still alive and kicking.
Oh, sure. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Radio Gods. It's Ernie from Wichita.
Yes. Hi, Ernie.
Yeah, I helped you out with at the show with your drinks and everything. Just wanted to...
Oh, drinks. Ernie the bartender.
Yeah. What drinks?
You remember Ernie the bartender?
Oh, yes. Ernie, how are you?
I'm doing great. I just wanted to let you guys know that had a great time. My wife was there. She had a great time. And,
well, thanks, Sam. We want to thank you for bringing back all the Cokes and Sprites. Now, Ernie, at the end of the show, your wife was walking around with her blouse open, exposing her bra. What was the story on that exactly?
Was she really?
I just told her I wanted her to show a little bit of cleavage at the show.
That's
really what it was all about.
Okay.
Hey, Ernie, I do have to ask you a question. Did you have the job of cleaning up our dressing room?
No.
Oh, okay. Good. You're lucky, man.
I want to tell you something.
That in a limo on the way out the driveway.
They did not supply us with a bathroom.
Oh, really?
So once again,
we had to use what was there.
We had no choice.
We all peed in the trash can.
Yeah, three of us. I know that Don did, and I did, and Buzz did, and I don't know if anybody else did, but the three of us, full bladder relief into that trash can.
I don't blame you. If you had had the dressing room on the other side, you would have been right across the hall from the bathroom. But
so there was some wonderful souvenir for someone, some wonderful memorabilia of our show, if only they would have known.
You know, you get the right container, you can make your own lava lamp.
Let me check. I'll bet that's on eBay right now.
Although, you know what? That's not the worst, because we've peed in a bucket before.
Right, regular cleaning bucket.
Right, at least this was a trash can that had, like, a liner inside it.
It had a liner. You could just, just watch out for the hefty water balloon.
Hello. Hello, Pam.
Hi, is it Donna Mike?
Yes, hi, honey.
Hi, this is Pam. I was one of those people at the studio that you thought was just staring at you. And I wanted to thank you, though, for letting me get my picture with you at the end of the show.
Is this the photographer's wife?
Yes.
Oh, this is lovely Pam.
Oh, Pam, you're a hottie.
Statuesque Pam.
You're a turbo hottie.
How do you remember all these people, Buzz?
I remember Pam.
I do, too.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Yeah. Very nice to me, Buzz.
Thank you. You know what? I remember, because I said to Don on stage, you had a look on your face where I thought you were, like, disgusted by the whole show, but you turned out to be a big fan of the show, and then you wanted your picture taken. But I said, this lady looks like a reporter. I thought you were a reporter during the show. I was very paranoid.
Oh, no. I was with the photographer, and I mean, we had great seats. See, I pimped him out.
Yeah, you were right up on... You were literally sitting on stage, right?
Sitting on stage, that's right.
I remember
pimped
you.
Him out. What did you have to do?
Well, we couldn't afford to be a sponsor, so I volunteered his services for free.
Okay, to take pictures during the film.
I thought that pictures.
Perhaps you really had to pimp yourself out with him.
Well, he wouldn't let me participate in the lingerie show.
Oh, that's a shame.
Oh, that's too bad. Would have liked to have seen you in that show.
Well,
would have liked to have seen you with some duct tape.
I don't know if I'd have gone that far.
Oh, really?
Oh. All right. Well, then probably best that you didn't. Thank you for calling, though, Pam.
Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you, honey.
Time.
Goodbye,
bye.
Pam.
All right. Hello, James.
Hey, guys, what's up? Great show.
Thank you, my friend.
Hey, the drunk guy that came up on stage and was ranting and raving $500, I sat next to his table as a sponsor myself. What happened is KFH told us that we were going to be toward the front, all the sponsors were. When we all got there, we were totally irate that we were stuck way in the back and you guys looked about 2 inches tall.
Good. Okay.
Well, there you go. There's KFH management once again.
Yeah, we accept no responsibility.
Why everybody was out in the hallway staring at you guys is because we were told that you guys were going to come for a meet and greet. Come to find out, you never knew nothing about it either.
Right.
Yeah, right.
They decided to bring us to the radio station just on a glimpse that we may get to say hi to you. So we're sitting here watching you guys eat like animals at a zoo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember you because you were on the other side of those blinds, right?
Yeah.
And then Charlie Broyhill came in and closed the blinds.
He closed them quick, and I said, well, there we go, guys.
Well,
I mean,
you know, at least
KFH totally screwed this up, so when you guys come back, don't hold it against them. It was a great show, and thanks for coming, guys.
Thank you, my friend. For anybody that was at the show, I believe one of the first things we did was get a couple of things off our chest.
Yes, we did.
About radio station KFH in Wichita. So anybody who was there knows our true feelings on the topic of the management of that radio station.
Absolutely.
That fine, fine management team they have in place.
Yeah.
Hello, Matt.
Yes.
Hey, buddy.
Don and Mike.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming. We really enjoyed the show.
It was wild. It was raunchy. I think one of the TV stations referred to it as a raunchy cabaret-style show.
That's funny. What a high compliment that is.
We, my friends and I provided some of the extracurricular activity in the audience. The guy in front of us kept spilling beer on one of my friends, and finally he just kind of had enough and threw him into the people in front of us.
Oh, you were fighting.
Oh, well, we kind of stood back and watched. It was like, don't get us thrown out, you idiot.
Did somebody take a poke at him?
I have a, one of those buddies that has a real short fuse when he has too much to drink, and he...
Really? I don't know anybody like that.
Huh. I don't either.
but we were all impressed by Buzz. He looks like...
That's the way we feel about it. Right.
We say
that when we're up on stage. We're all very impressed by Buzz.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Now, do you want to talk to Dennis?
Sure.
Okay. But Robbie, I want to time this.
All right.
I want to give Buzz, Dennis, 60 seconds. Just got Buzz on the brain.
Of course.
All right, I'm ready.
So thankful for Buzz.
I want to get a number from him because I want to see how much show.
Hello, Dennis.
Hey, guy. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Dennis.
How much?
Huh?
How much?
$2,200.
Wow.
Jesus Christ. You know, we go there, we do the show for nothing. You walk out with $2,200.
I'm sorry, but it was amazing out there.
You peddler.
Huh?
You crazy peddler, you.
Do you really,
And I must have signed at least 15 pairs of breasts.
Did you kiss a lot of breasts?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Look at that, a good time.
You horn dog, you.
He's just giggling. He's just so happy.
Okay, but I just want to let you know, thank you, and I'll get off the line now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Unless you wanted to.
Oh, see, that was the, if you just said I'll get off the line now and hung up, it would have been real self-discipline.
How much time, Robbie?
15!
15, Dennis, you have 15 seconds.
Okay, so I'm going to
send
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, and I'll see you all later.
4, 3, 2,
1,
click.
There he goes.
There you go. 60 seconds.
$200.
Jesus Christ. We walk out without a penny in our pocket. Because we make a point of doing the show for free to say thank you for listening.
A lot of people in Wichita supported Murphy Enterprises.
And that prick walks out with $2,200.
And, you know his lips covered with breasticle stuff.
Right. I left with no money, saw no breasts,
right,
and nursed no breasts. Hello, Sean.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I've been listening to a couple years. I started listening when I was part of their Proud 4%, but, I'm gainfully employed now, but I took my wife, and she hardly ever listens because, one of those women thinks that
you roll your window up? Sean, roll your window up, buddy.
Let me sit inside. Okay, is that a little better?
Where, are you in some sort of wind tunnel?
Yeah, well, I'm at a gas station.
Okay, so is it windy in Wichita today?
Yeah, it's very windy today.
Okay, all right.
Anyway, my wife went, and she ended up having a great time, and the best, one of my friends and I ended up getting tickets at their little monkey reindeer games that they were giving out tickets at, and we ended up getting two extra pairs and sold them for $50 each.
Oh, now that's unscrupulous. We don't like hearing that, Sean.
Well, I'm sorry, but the best thing...
All right, disqualified. I'm sorry. Don't like that.
I don't either.
All right, one last call, and then we really got to move on. Hello, Andy, you're the last person from Wichita.
Hey, how's it going today, Don and Mike?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, we appreciate you for the show. I was wondering if y'all saw the fight.
Well, which fight? There were five fights in the crowd.
I only saw two. I saw two in the down front and then one in the middle of the crowd.
I don't know. It was the one between Don's chins and D's nuts.
Oh. a bunch of people had D's nuts on. Yes, right?
That's right. They got us on that one.
And did my kid get me today with that? Oh, Jesus. All day yesterday, Frida and Bart and I, when we were out doing stuff, and I'll tell you about this later, but Bart and I kept doing the D's nuts thing back and forth. They're driving Frida crazy. Well, by today, I'd forgotten about it. So I was driving carpool. I take the kids to school. I drop them off. And as I'm in the turnaround, leaving the carpool lane, my car phone rings. And Bart says, "Hey, Dad, I left something in the car." And I said, "Okay, I'll turn right around, and I'll come back to the auditorium." He said, "Look in the back seat and tell me if it's there." And I stop the car, and I look in the back seat, and I go, "What am I looking for?" And he goes, "These nuts." He got me. He got me so bad.
That is
the new one. That is truly the new one. I love it.
These nuts.
Been around for a while, but we've only discovered it recently on this show.
Now, we have some tape of Wichita TV stations. Now, old man Burbank, and I mean the real old man Burbank.
My dad.
Buzz's father, who never tells him that he loves him, did tape the Channel 3 newscast for us.
I hope you thanked your dad for us, Buzz.
I did. And we do thank the senior Mr. Burbank for that.
Did you hug him after you thanked him?
I did, repeatedly. we did not get tape, though, of the ABC or CBS stations.
Okay.
Who were also there. I understand one of them, I think, what's the ABC station in Wichita?
Cake, Channel 10, K-A-K-E.
Channel 10 did a cut-in on the 6 o'clock news.
Oh, really?
Where they had a reporter standing in front of the place saying, why are the police coming to this event tonight?
Right.
And it was explained to me that the TV station, at least the vibe they were giving out was, listen, this is just a couple of disc jockeys coming to do a show.
Sure.
How come there are 30 cops and SWAT team members here tonight? We will have the story on the Cake 10 o'clock news.
Very cool.
The only tape that we have, though, is from Channel 3.
Right.
And
the same lady that interviewed us?
Yeah, except she didn't do the story.
Okay.
I mean, they slapped together some of the stuff with you and I talking in the studio.
All right.
And then they had the anchor people do a little wrap around. It's only about a minute long. Here we go. Here's the 10 o'clock news Friday night in Wichita.
Pretty chilly, then much better on Sunday. Windy and milder with a high of 62. Lauren?
All right. Thanks, Dave. Their show has been described as raucous and raunchy. But that's not stopping hundreds of Wichitans from stopping by the Cotillion to catch the Don and Mike show. The cabaret-style show may be in fun, but some have questioned its legality, especially considering the city's recent ban on nudity. But in a behind-the-scenes interview with KSN, Don and Mike told us their show is well within city limits.
We really don't. That's the truth. We do not have problems with the police. We really, really don't, do we?
Cops hassle us all the time.
He's lying.
No, we have no problem with the police. Love the police. Love the fact that they're out there, that right. they help us keep things under control.
He won't tell you, but this man right here will meet with whatever authorities are at the joint that we're going to do our show.
That is true.
And he will meet with them, and he says, you know, what can we do, what can't we do?
That was on local radio affiliate KFH this morning. Tickets to the show were free. Almost 2,000 were given away.
And you couldn't make it tonight. You had to work.
I know. Oh, I wanted to.
That would have been fun. More local news.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awkward. Whenever a television person has to do a segue, if it's not written down for them, I swear to God, they can't ad-lib their way out of a goddamn paper bag.
She sounded so disinterested. Yeah, I couldn't make it. Right.
They didn't have the lady with the bad teeth actually doing the report on us. They just used the file footage when they came out to the station and talked to us.
I'm very surprised at that because, I mean, I would have figured she was going to, you know, be on camera.
Lady Rembrandt was doing something about a grain elevator. She was on location.
She gets all the choices.
Yeah, and she looked good. Those teeth photograph well.
Yeah, really, to see her on TV, you wouldn't know that she had those big yellow spots on her teeth.
Yeah, like extra keys.
Right. Right, absolutely. Rembrandt. So, you know, look, what did we tell you last week? We were bitching about the big story on the front page of the newspaper.
Right.
Show came off without a hitch.
Yeah, it couldn't have been any better. We couldn't have done any better in Wichita. We're very happy about that. And to be honest, when the authorities get uptight, we get uptight, frankly. We really do, and we're glad that it was an overwhelming success.
We talked to quite a few of the cops that were there, and the cops were very cool.
Very cool. They enjoyed the show, too.
Cops could not have been nicer.
I think the cops enjoyed the show because the way I understand it, the women were checking with the cops to make sure that their duct tape adhered to community standards.
Yeah, so the police actually...
But, you know, they were saying, yes, that's legal.
Got to inspect.
We're able to give that the old check. Who was on 444? Is that for us?
I don't know.
You think?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
This is Kurt.
Who are you holding for?
Charlie.
Oh, Charlie Broyhill?
Yeah.
All right, hold on, please. Hold on, please.
I guess Charlie's waiting. Charlie may be in another state right now.
Okay, I'll take the call. I'll take it off.
All right, good. All right, Don will be taking the call. Now, Charlie's running in here right now, waving his hands wildly.
Hello.
What?
Hold on. I couldn't get the information on the screen quick enough, Charlie, but he has the information. That sounds nothing like me. That's not even close.
This M. Charlie Boyd.
That's real good. He has the ABC story you were looking for. It's all queued up.
Me like food.
And sugar.
Hold on, please.
That was good.
Me like sugar in tea. Minister of Information.
Me, I'm Charlie Broyhill.
All right, so this guy has the ABC story.
He works for ABC there.
Oh, he does.
Kirk.
Kurt? Kirk? Hey, we're ready to hear your story there, Kurt.
Kurt, perhaps my dead-on impression of Charlie Broyhill.
I was thinking
threw him off.
Right.
Scared him away.
Me like food.
We've got the tape if you want it.
Yes, okay. Yes, sir, please. Thank you.
Yes, we're just having fun there, Kurt.
Sorry about that.
All right, roll it, I guess.
Well, we're queuing the tape for you right now.
And you work at Cake?
No, uh-uh. We just happen to have the tape available.
Oh, all right. Just happen to have it. Gotcha.
So give us about 2 minutes here. If you guys want to go on, we'll
about
have
2 minutes.
2 minutes.
2 minutes?
Why, 2 minutes.
Why does it take 2 minutes to rewind a tape?
We're fast-forwarding.
You're fast-forwarding to that part of the news.
Mm-hmm.
This is the live cut-in? Is that what we're talking about?
Is it worth seeing?
I haven't seen it.
Or hearing?
He hasn't seen it.
All right, hold on. This is a job for the producer.
Yeah.
Hold on. The producer who likes to eat food
and put sugar in tea.
We'll come on and talk to you, and then maybe we'll get back to you. Fake?
Okay.
Oh. Okay. There he is.
You're mean.
Yes, they are.
Oh. We heard you.
I know.
Now, why would you say we're mean?
But you're our favorites, too.
We're just having fun. You know, we're just filling 4.5 hours a day.
Me like food. Me talk on telephone. So people not know me talking on telephone. Me like holding up finger, saying, wait 1 minute. Me cannot tell you itinerary. Me go into folder with plastic cover 500 times instead of hand people sheet with schedule of trip.
You'd have lost it anyway.
Oh, shut up.
Bite me.
Me, I'm Charlie Broyhill. All right, hold on, please.
Hey, we got it here. You ready?
Yes, okay.
Here we go.
Okay, roll it, buddy.
Fire away.
See what other avenues they have to choose from.
All right, Carol. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some people say they are the Seinfeld of radio. You may listen to the nationally syndicated Don and Mike show, but tonight, Don and Mike are here, and Wichita gets a taste of the real thing. Cake's Michelle Rozell is now out at the Cotillion Ballroom, where the show is going on right now. And Michelle, I guess they had to tone it down a bit here in Wichita?
Well, that's right. What's going on right now, the Don and Mike show are putting on what they call an adult Las Vegas style show. It's where the audience actually participates. Now, in the past, Don and Mike have been known to bring nudity into their show. That's not happening here tonight, but that also didn't stop people from buying one of these tickets.
I've listened to them for the past 10 years. They're crazy. I've talked to people that have seen their shows, and maybe a dozen people on stage, all nude, doing nude Olympics rather than underwear Olympics.
They just do a lot of stuff you wouldn't hear on the radio, talking about things you wouldn't normally talk about.
Tom Lee Allen listens to Don and Mike every day. He doesn't want to miss the chance to see them in person.
Try to buy me a ticket. I don't want to take my chance of waiting in line.
We've been out here for an hour and we're freezing. But it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. Fans waited out in the drizzle, hoping they too would get a chance to see these self-proclaimed radio gods. But inside, some people are upset. Don and Mike are restricted on what they can do. A new city ordinance bans public nudity, and Don and Mike say they'll abide.
Listen, will you let us know what we can and can't do? Because we have that problem in different markets. Well, we have to go to different markets, and we can do certain things, but we can't do those things. And no matter what they tell us, we'll come out and we'll do a great show.
I think they're going to push the envelope. People don't like to be restricted in what they do.
Just in case, cops are keeping a close eye to make sure people aren't sparing at all. Promoters wanted to make sure tonight that no one broke the law, so they posted several copies of the nudity ordinance inside, and they also put warnings in big bold letters on every ticket. Now, some people might say that Don and Mike and several audience members walked a fine line tonight, but in the end, no one broke the law.
Were there a lot of police visible there at the show?
There have been a lot of cops here, and I think probably the biggest problem tonight they've been dealing with are fights towards the end of the evening.
All right. Always interesting to have. All right, Michelle, thank you. There you go, guys.
Thanks a lot. That's very nice of you to do that for us.
That was a much better story, I thought, than the other station.
Yeah, it was, actually.
With the lady with the bad teeth.
And you're right, Tony Dusing does look a little like Colonel Klink.
Let me ask you a question. When we were listening to that tape, did the reporter who was doing the live cut-in, was her mic open during the tape that she was running? Was she talking over it?
I think they didn't have her potted down or something.
That's, yeah, that sounded like, weird. Even through the phone, it sounded like
right.
That.
All right, yeah. Thank you, Kirk.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Me, thank you.
Bye, guys.
All right.
Bye, Kirk.
Well, as you can tell, we turned the town upside down.
upside down.
A good time was had by all of Wichita.
With the ribald cabaret show.
The cabaret show.
The cabaret show.
Watch wear that Joel Grey makeup next time.
All right. Made it in. Did the show. Made it out alive. Glad to be here. Now, time for a call 100. Oh, do have some stuff to tell you, though, about our trip back.
Oh, God.
And about the weekend. We're not done yet. Caller 100 right now. Let's start this week with a prize package selected especially for you. Oh, no, everybody qualifies for a great prize this week. Tammy has come through with a grand prize on Friday, a trip for two to Southern California.
All right.
To go out to Anaheim to see WWF WrestleMania 2000.
Anaheim, best part of California.
So if you want to go, you'll qualify now with a prize pack. Be the 100th person to call Toya at 1-877-365-3636.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
Right. Time for a station break. If you live in Seattle, the station is KRKO, Worcester, Mass., WORC, Bakersfield, California, KGEO, and in New York City,
this is the House that Funk Bills, Groove Armada Style.
Radio station is WNEW.
You can understand them if you're a mastermind. The Don and Mike Show.
We'll be coming to New York. I think in about a week and a half, we're going to start splitting our time between D.C. and New York.
All right.
Cool. Here's your show from WNEW. Caller 100 times right now. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. Trying to be caller 100.
Right. Great energy level. Good radio contest winner.
Sorry?
What?
There you go.
No, no.
Just as well. All right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey!
That's what we like.
Who is this? Hey, this is Shane from Anderson, South Carolina.
I'm hitting at
Greenville.
Shane, you're the 100th caller. You've won the Sopranos prize pack, the book, the hat, the CD, the shirt. Don't miss our favorite show, The Sopranos, Sunday night, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, only on HBO.
All right.
Plus, you qualified for this week's weekly giveaway. Friday, we're giving away a trip for two to Anaheim, California for WWF WrestleMania 2000 on April 2nd. Trip includes air, hotel, and tickets. The rest of you can watch WWF WrestleMania 2000 pay-per-view. Call your local Comcast or Cox cable system to order. Please make sure you're listening to Friday's show because that's when we're giving the trip away.
I'll be listening.
Beautiful. Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you. And hold on just a second. Okay, so let me set this for you. We get done with the show.
We do indeed.
The Las Vegas style. We do the radio show.
Mm-hmm.
We get in the car. I just want to mention this to set up something that I'm going to tell you about a little later.
Okay.
That when we arrived in Wichita, we never asked for a limousine.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, every time we've ever gone to any city, we never get a car. What normally happens is,
you get a van, maybe. Sometimes a station comes out with a van, and you get like a production director that drives us to where we need to go.
Yeah. Right. Or, we'll just rent a car.
Right.
Generally, that's what we do, is we rent a car.
That's right.
And I end up just driving us around everywhere.
Sure, exactly.
Because that's I like to drive, and I know it scares Mike when he's in the car when I'm driving.
And you like to frighten me, so it works out well for us.
But that's normally the plan. So the people at KFH got a trade deal with a limo company.
Right.
Where they had a limo pick us up. And frankly, I think we mentioned this on Friday. We felt a little awkward about that. But
yes, we did.
It's a nice perk. And I think we'd also mentioned during the radio show on Friday that the limo driver, and at first we wrote it off as him just being an enthusiastic listener of the show.
That's right.
He was very much in your face.
Mm-hmm. He was proactive. He was a guy that, he wanted to have a lot of interaction and a lot of contact.
He wanted, when he originally picked us up, he wanted to get his picture taken. We said, absolutely no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to talk, tell us he listened to the show. That was great.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was okay. But by the time that we got to the radio station, he had already become just a little bit too, and the word is not chatty, because it wasn't so much what he said, it's just he was kind of
overly aggressive.
You ever met like an insurance salesman who just pushes and pushes and pushes to where you just want to say, it doesn't shut up. If I want to buy the insurance, I'll buy it. Otherwise, just shut up.
This culminated for us after we did the radio portion of our two shows out there, and we got done doing,
you know what it was? He was too familiar with us.
It was something where, anybody, if it just didn't work. There was kind of an attitude there that just was uncomfortable. And by the time we got done doing the radio show and we were getting ready to go out and do the second part of the deal out there, we walk out to the car and he's got this huge grin on his face. He goes, "Hey, how are you, you fat bastards?" And at that particular time, we're a little tired. We're getting ready for phase two.
It's fine if somebody calls us up on the radio.
Absolutely.
And in the context of doing a radio show, says, "Hey, you fat bastard." We go, "Hey, you son of a bitch."
But then he looks at he's got his big stupid grin on his face, and he's staring at us for like a reaction. Like, "Hey, excuse me, we just got done doing the show. We're going to do another show in about an hour and a half. We're not going to do a show for you."
Right. So the guy. Plus, he was touchy, and nobody got this except me.
Yeah, well, you're right. You're the only one that he had. I didn't even know he was doing that, because I would really kind of sprint past him and dive headfirst into the car.
So, it's like, he says, "Hey, you fat bastards. Pretty good show today. My, oh, my. So what do you think of our old town, would you, though, huh? Get on in the car." In the meantime, the guy, just like when I got out of the car the first time, he's virtually feeling me up. Got his hands all over me. So I don't say anything. I just get in the car. Then I'm a little ticked when Charlie Broyhill says the guy would rather that you don't smoke in the car.
Yeah, you wanted to have a nice little cigar. And listen, we've been in these cars enough times where you go out like to a bachelor party, and if you make a little arrangement with the guy, he's usually going to cut you just a little bit of slack.
Rob was having a cigarette and I was having a cigar, and I rolled the window down and was holding the cigar out the window.
So we're getting all the happy, and then meantime he's saying, "Hey, no smoking," which we kind of. It just was, after all that familiarity, then to kind of say, you can't even cut us a little bit of slack.
Right. But that was cool. Again,
that was cool.
We didn't say anything to the guy.
We're delighted that KFH is springing for a limousine that's picking up the tab for a limo for us. We're very happy about that. That we've got the, it makes it convenient for us to get from point A to point B. Because of the schedule we're on, it's very convenient because we have to get up at the crack of dawn of the next day to go to the airport. So it's fine.
But it's really, not what we're into, and I felt awkward leaving the show and arriving to the show, to the appearance show, in a limousine. Mm-hmm. Because it gives an aura that we don't have. We are regular guys. Yeah, we have great jobs. We're so thankful to have these jobs, where we really don't have to work for a living like everybody listening to our show right now does. Right. But, Jesus Christ, we're not limo-type guys. And it was one of those big, flashy, long, white stretch pimp limos. Mm-hmm. So we're a little awkward with that whole thing to begin with. And, he's got on his tuxedo with no tie. One of those button-up queer shirts. And it's one of these guys that loved running around and opening the door.
Yeah.
And then as he would open the door, he loved reaching in and just touching me. touching my shoulder. "How you doing? How you doing, big guy?"
Yeah, big guy.
"How was everything back there? Everything okay, big guy?" "All right.
Big guy.
Have a great show. I'll be waiting right out here for you, big guy." And still, we say nothing. We get to the place and we do the show. Then when we get out of the show, immediately, again, I'm getting the touchy stuff. Everybody else gets in the car, but this guy...
Because at this point, we're running into the car.
This guy, because I'm waiting for everybody else to get in so I can be the last guy in to get my spot by the door. Again, this guy's doing this, and this time I'm getting the rub on the arm. "Hey, how was the show tonight, huh?"
Mm.
"Was that a good one? Was it everything you thought it would be? How did everything..." The guy's just... the word to use is just too familiar.
Yeah.
I can appreciate the fact that the guy listens to the show, and he thinks like he knows us. That's the goal of the show.
I should also say that we've had experiences with people that do this, and quite often we have a pretty good time with these guys. We have a lot of laughs, and it's just not in your face. And when it's not in your face, that's it makes it a much more pleasant experience.
So the guy took us back to the hotel, and that's the first time I said anything to him. When we got to the hotel, as I opened the door, he was running out to open the door for me. And again, I got the thing with the hands on me. Go, hey, come on, big guy. And I just heard him. I said, "Listen, just don't touch me. Just please."
I didn't know he was touching you.
Don't touch me.
I would always wonder why you were the last one in the limo. You were probably getting squeezed.
The guy was just, familiar is the word that I would use. He's just a pain in the ass. So we get back to the hotel. And I mentioned all of this about the limo driver because there's an important point to the story that I'll get to in a second. We get back to the hotel, Buzz gets out, we all get a big laugh when Buzz gets into his dad's pickup truck.
Yeah.
to drive away. You know, just the thought of Buzz in a pickup truck.
Yeah, it was funny.
Funny.
It was just, you know, seeing Buzz in that, you know, the pickup truck with the toolbox in the back of it.
That's it. Very cool.
And we asked Buzz all kinds of questions about the pickup truck, and he had no answer. You know, like,
I'm not sure. Yes, it is. It has a space in the back that you can put things in.
Is it manual? Is it automatic? What kind is it? Is it a Ford? Is it a Chevy?
Did you like driving the pickup up?
It was a lot of fun. It was a Ford Ranger. It was a stick. And, yes, there were tools in the toolbox.
Then he's got the answers.
He did his research.
Okay. He's got the answers. So we got a little laugh about that. We went into the hotel, and everybody said, let's go get something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go get something to eat and have a drink. But I'm beat-ass tired. So as normally happens, mm-hmm. you know, I went up to the room
right.
to watch TV, have room service, and go to sleep. And it turns out Mike and Charlie and Rob
right.
ended up going into the hotel bar where mm-hmm. they had dinner and had some drinks and did. There were some people who came to the show. Didn't they show up at the hotel?
Yeah, we had some people that came by that had been to the show, and someone had mentioned on stage that we were at the hotel that we were staying at. Someone had mentioned it three times, and so there were there were these people.
Sorry about that.
they came in, but they were, you know, we actually, I think, hey, Rob, did we not call them over, I think, or did they come over? I forgot.
You invited them over.
Yeah, they came over and they sat down. We, you know, real nice people. They were talking about the show. They couldn't have been nicer, and it was, you know. Just so when we're talking about the limo driver, you know, when people are just being cool and they just want to say hi, it was perfectly nice and we had a nice time with
them. You're leaving out one thing before we met the listeners.
Yes.
The piggyback ride.
Oh, yes. Rob and I went down to the... Rob and I, of course, immediately after getting out of the car, and since we only had a trash can, a bucket at the... you know, we both had... nature had called,
uh-huh.
and Rob and I went out seeking the facilities, and Rob gave me a piggyback ride. Yes, we were...
Wow.
We were feeling very, very happy.
Wow, to quote Buzz.
Wow.
We were giddy. Were we not giddy that the shows were over, that
yeah.
The work was done, the Wichita trip was completed, and we were very, very happy.
And there were some oldsters in the... It was like the ballroom area of the
That's
hotel.
Right. And so I said, yippee-i-yo, Kaye, as I rode Rob down the hallway for like
right.
eight steps until his knees gave out.
You rode him hard.
Rode him hard. You know, we did it for the benefit of the oldsters. Going,
yeehaw!
I think they liked it.
They did enjoy the show.
Now, how you guys managed to do this, I don't know, because between the time that we got to the hotel and the time that we had to get up to catch our plane back
yes.
for this bass-ackwards plan of flying to and leaving Wichita,
right.
I think we had like 3 hours to sleep.
I know that I got about 3 hours, and that, you know, and it was just... It was...
I don't know how you guys managed to go down and eat and give Rob a get a piggyback ride from Rob.
You know, after you do that show, I mean, we were, you know, we were wound up,
right.
and you got to wind down a little bit, and that's exactly what we were unwinding.
I was so medicated.
Yes, you were. You were indeed.
Yeah.
It was
right.
time for you to go to bed.
I had a couple of cocktails at the appearance, and when we were done, I had
yes.
a couple more cocktails.
It was a festive evening. We were, you know, as I said, it was one of the best Las Vegas style shows we ever had. So we went in there and, you know, met some nice people that had come to the show, and we had a good time with them.
Then the next morning, Saturday morning, and it's 4:45 a.m.
God.
And that's the time that we had to meet in the lobby
right.
to go to the airport to catch the plane. So we meet in the lobby, and everybody, you know, myself certainly included,
yeah.
just dragging ass. You know, we got 3 hours sleep.
Yeah, it is one tired, out-of-it crew.
Still hungover from the night before, and we're all standing there just kind of grumbling at each other, like, you know, ugh. Why is the effing plane leaving so effing early? I don't know why we just didn't get a later effing flight. Who made these effing reservations? And all of a sudden, around the corner, hey, good morning, guys. You know, it's the limo driver, of course. And he's bounding through with limitless energy.
He's got his street clothes on, though. You know, he's out of his tuxedo outfit.
And I want to make sure I tell this right, because it's not that he came in with energy, and I don't want to portray him as friendly, because friendly wouldn't be the right word to describe this limo driver.
No.
He had energy, but he was like a used car salesman type
Absolutely.
Energy.
Absolutely. I think that's an accurate description of what we were dealing with.
So again, same deal. Everybody gets into the car. He opens the door. Again, even though I told him the night before, you know, don't touch me.
You can't help
right.
him.
So. Yeah, again, he got slapped me on the back.
It's just, when you're doing that kind of job, and I think, you know, I'm not telling anything that guys that do this for a living don't know. When you're doing that kind of job, less is more. I mean, you really want to just kind of chill out. You kind of want to hang out. And you know, if information is needed, you share that. But, I mean, it's not... I don't think anybody doing the buddy-buddy rap and being like the used, as you said, like the used car salesman, that's not what you want in that situation. And that's what we had gotten for 48 hours straight.
So everybody's burned out on this guy. Nobody more so than me. I'm leading this parade, okay?
This
is the Edward parade, and I'm leading the parade
I understand.
Against this limo driver.
King Edward. But I'll tell you, we all understood how you were feeling about that.
Yeah, you just wouldn't shut up, and, you know, we didn't ask for a limousine. It was nice. You know, we certainly could have gotten ourselves to the airport, but, you know, thank you, KFH. So we get to the airport. We open the door. We get out. The guy pops the trunk. We get our bags. We say, hey, thank you very much. It was a pleasure meeting you. We shake hands, and we leave. Mike and I walk in and stand in line to get our plane tickets, and then Rob comes in, and then Broyhill comes in. Broyhill comes in, and as we're standing in line waiting for our plane tickets, Broyhill says, look at the limo driver. And we look out the window of the airport.
Well, he had said something to Broyhill before he came in.
Yeah, that's what we get to. Right. Broyhill says, look at him. We turn around. The guy is standing in front of the car.
Staring at us.
With his arms folded, staring at us.
Uh-huh.
Broyhill says, he's waiting for his tip.
Uh-huh.
Now, at this point, you know, we start think.
We've done this before, and usually every single time, the station has taken care of everything. We're talking about the cost and the gratuity wherever we have gone.
Now, it's not because we're cheap. We're noodling it through. You know, the guy's been a prick.
And, you know, I would also go one step further to say we've had similar situations where we knew the station has taken care of the tip and the station has taken care of the limo, but we'll all throw in a few bucks.
Right.
Because this was one time where, F it. We didn't feel it was appropriate.
And generally, I think I've even said this on the radio, I overtip just because I'm worried about what people will say about me. Mm-hmm. Well, as we are having this discussion, and the guy is standing outside, you know, staring at us.
And he didn't say he had a, Charlie, what was the verbiage he used?
Because
about? He said it in a certain way to you about the tip. He
as we were discussing this, Charlie told us the rest of what this guy had to say.
Okay, here he is. Hello. Hi, Charlie.
Hi.
So what did the guy say to you?
He said, I'm just going to stand right out here and wait for my tip because I know that Don and Mike aren't the kind of guys that are going to stiff someone.
That's it. Now, I'm sorry. When Charlie says that to us, any chance, I mean, if Charlie had come in and say, you know, said to us, you probably would have presented it to us differently, too, if he hadn't said it. You would have said, you know, hey, it's probably a good idea that we give this guy a few bucks. But the way he said it to you, immediately, the guy, it's like, hey.
If the guy hadn't been a prick, I always do this. I would have reached in my pocket as we got out of the car and lit him up a little bit.
Right.
The other thing he said, too, though, was, since I took this job to do it just for the tip.
Which is, that is ridiculous, because, first of all,
whose fault is that?
You know, we everywhere we have ever gone, the whole thing is taken care of by the set. And that's the way we understood that. Nobody said, you know, nobody from the radio station at any time said to Charlie, to me, or to Don that, hey, you're expected to take care of this limo
and
driver.
And we never asked for a limousine.
And if this guy, you know, first of all, is saying that, first of all, A, I don't believe it. And B, you know, if he did do it and it's true, well, I'm sorry, but that's not the way we understood
it. So as we are discussing this, after Charlie first says, the guy says he's not leaving till he gets his tip.
Right.
As we're looking at him out the window, we're kind of incredulous looking at this guy leaning against his car.
With the look on his face.
With his arms
like,
folded, looking at him.
Eyebrows raised, just like...
Then Charlie lays this on us where he says,
Johnny Pushy. Johnny Pushy's out there.
He says, well, I know that Don and Mike are not the type of guys who wouldn't tip. And I'm not leaving until I get my tip.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, we all put our heads together.
Any possible chance there was going to be any kind of gratuity.
Said F him.
Forget it.
You know, I'm not going to tip a guy who talks my ear off, virtually cops a feel every time he sees me.
But the fact of the matter is, you know, that wasn't even... The real fact of the matter was... We understood that the entire thing, driver included, if the station had not done this,
this illustrates the whole point we're making with this guy, that someone who was a little more sophisticated would have maybe said to Broyhill, hey, you know what? Don and Mike were in such a rush to get to the airplane, they forgot to tip me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he had come in and said that, even with the guy being such a prick.
Absolutely.
We would have lit him up. It's not like we didn't have a couple bucks in our pocket.
Absolutely.
But because he comes in with the thing, I'm not leaving until I get my tip. And he's leaning against his car, staring at us through the window.
Now, if that's the attitude. And, you know, first of all, it should be said again that it's always our understanding. We didn't ask for a limousine. We did not want a limousine. When they provided one, we said, hey, this is great. It'll be convenient. But we certainly never thought that the driver was doing this gratis except for the tip that we were going to give him. That's never been our understanding. We thought that everything, all the money for this limo was going to be taken care of by the radio station.
It was a train deal.
And who knows what the real deal is with that. You know?
We have this discussion. Well, do we tip him or don't we tip him? And every time that we would start to say, you know what, screw it, let's just give him the money. We'd look outside and see this prick just looking at us with his arms folded.
And we are getting madder and madder and madder.
So then we said, you know what, screw it. And we sent Broyhill back out.
Mm-hmm.
We said, go tell him there's no tip for him.
Yeah, and tell him, you know, we told him to tell the truth, that it was our understanding that the radio station was taking care of everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with that, he was in his car, and he was gone.
And he was gone.
And a very, very awkward episode of our little trip to Wichita was
over.
You know, I should also say, when we do stuff like that, when we have had people that are providing transportation, usually you get one guy takes you one place, another guy, well, he was there the whole time. It was him. Mm-hmm. And his person riding shotgun.
Yeah, his girlfriend, whoever she was. And it's not a question of us being cheap, because, you know, especially because people know who we are, we do make a point of over-tipping just so nobody can say, oh, listen, do you ever listen to those guys on the radio? They're pricks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And really, to be honest with you, under normal circumstances, that's an automatic deal, even though I certainly hope that the radio station was paying some money for that transportation, because if the guy was doing it just based on tips, even if we'd left a good tip for him, that would have been worth his time.
No way. Absolutely not. And it just, the whole thing blew me away. But the guy said, I'm not leaving until I get my tip.
And saying to Charlie Boyd, I know they're not the type of guys that we are. If you're going to run an attitude.
So the reason I bring this up is because I'm sure that this guy has spent most of the last 2 days running around Wichita telling everybody in the world that the big city disc jockeys didn't give him a tip in the limo. Well, that's why he didn't get a tip. First, because he was a prick. Second, because he wouldn't shut up. Third, because he kept talking to me. Fourth, because he wouldn't let us smoke in the car. But the main reason is, that he demanded a tip.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely. And that was really one of the very awkward moments that we had. And it was, but it was funny to look out there.
It was funny.
He's got the eyebrows up at the end. The more we're looking out there, it's like, oh, the hell with that.
Wow. You know, the guy, imagine this. Just leaning against his car at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
You know, expecting some gigantic, you know, wheelbarrow full of money.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly hope that, the folks at KFH popped for some money for that limo. I really do, because, I mean, we certainly didn't expect that we were going to have a car at our disposal, and that the guy was going to do everything basing it on a tip from us.
We never heard that.
Right? Not for a million years.
We didn't use the car for any personal reason. We went from the airport to the hotel.
Absolutely.
To the radio station, to the hotel, to the appearance.
I hope he was driving
the hotel.
I do hope he was driving
to the airport.
I hope he was driving that limo right back to the radio station with his hand out there, because they should give him a gratuity for doing that just based on his hours. But, I mean, oh, God, it was awkward.
But it was funny.
Yeah, it was.
It was funny. The funniest part was
watching him drive away.
Having this stare down.
Yeah.
And I mean, this wasn't a stare down that happened over 3 minutes. This was a good 10-minute stare down.
He was standing out there and just looking in at us.
It was just, it's just the wrong way to do business.
True.
Even if the guy had just come in himself and said, hey, listen, you know, how about a little something for the effort? Well,
right.
We certainly, at that point, would have reached into our pockets. Nothing else, just out of shame.
But not with the, when he even had to come up with a smart-ass line, you know, at the very end. And that, you know, any chance of rectifying the situation.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell everybody that we didn't tip you.
Right.
You're a prick. You're a grade A prick. Too familiar. Right? A good limo driver, in my experience, my limited experience in being in limousines, a good limo driver shuts the F up. He just says, where do you want to go? And he puts up the little window, and you don't see him until you get there.
Absolutely.
You don't got him driving and leaning his arm over the armrest, turn around going, hey, how you boys doing?
If you want to have a conversation, you have a conversation. Yeah, but that's it.
It was funny. It was real funny.
It was.
It was really funny.
Amazing.
Watching Charlie go out. And, you know, there's no better person for that job than Charles Broyhill.
And my moment was getting done with the radio show while you go, hey, you fat bastards. You know, something that we get from people on the phone. It's one thing when we're doing a show and it's on the phone. Mm. It's another thing when we walk out and that's the first thing the guy says.
Yeah. Mm. So no tip for him. No soup for you.
There you go.
And that's why he got no soup. Just in case, he's running around besmirching our good name today in Wichita.
Absolutely. Now you understand the whole deal.
Right. Oh, here's a limo driver. This is not the limo driver.
Might be a learning experience.
Is this the limo driver?
I'm Dave, and I am a limo driver.
Oh, you're not the limo driver.
I'm not the one that you had experience this weekend.
Okay. Oh, okay. As a limo driver, what do you think of everything you've heard?
I've picked up celebrities before.
and it's always like a contract with a booking agent, and it's always tip in advance.
Okay, yeah.
That means it's on the bill.
That's the way we have tipped before, and we always understand that is a little extra gravy on the, on
exactly.
The meat.
Exactly. If you had pulled out a $5 bill, and just one of you, and handed that to him on the way in, he should have been happy. But again, this is a trade. So this guy, this was probably his only car, and he's getting commercial time for this, so that's all he's getting.
Okay,
so
yeah.
You can see his side of it, too.
Sure. But we didn't know what the deal was.
And it's not like we requested this.
Exactly.
We never asked for it, and we made a point of saying that to him the night he picked us up.
I assumed, really, that he was the owner of the company.
Yeah,
I
how much time were you in his car?
We were in his car on the way to the hotel.
It was 15 minutes from the airport to the hotel.
And then another,
15 minutes to the radio station.
Yeah.
15
so he
minutes.
Had less than an hour invested in you.
No, I'd say really about 2 hours.
Yeah.
Seriously, 2 hours.
Yeah, so... Yeah, the guy was just being too friendly because he's probably never seen a star before.
Well, come on, please. We're not stars.
That's the whole deal.
You're tall status. You're a big star.
But you agree it doesn't matter whether there's somebody that's in the public eye or somebody that's a businessman or somebody that's out for a date or a night on the town. You just kind of like... You play it the way the customer is playing it, right?
Hey, it's a bonus. That's what it's there for.
And would you ever have...
When he gives it to you, you give him a big thank you, and...
Would you have ever done this?
Treat it.
Just let me ask you, would you ever have done this? If you had dropped some guys off at the airport, regardless of who you thought they were, would you ever say to one person in the party...
I know that Don and Mike wouldn't stiff me or something like that.
Specifically, I'm not leaving until I get my tip.
I'll give you an example. One time I had a wedding party and no one tipped me and it wasn't included. And I said to like one of the bridesmaids, I said, I want to know if I should leave now or if someone is coming out to give me a tip.
Now, that's
but I would never like demand it because you can't demand it. It's
listen
extra.
To the difference
you
there.
Know, and I'll tell you, if it had been presented to us that way, I guarantee
he
you.
He would have got some money from
he
us.
He would have gotten a tip from
right.
us.
Absolutely. All right, thank you.
It's good to get a limo driver's perspective.
Here's a limo driver from D.C. Here's Dan. Hey, Dan.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, on this situation, listen, I drive celebrities all the time. And number one, the worst thing you ever do is ask for a tip. That's unprofessional. Makes the limo company look like a moron. More importantly, makes me look like a moron.
And I just want to point out, not to beat a dead horse here, but he didn't ask for a tip. He demanded a tip.
Oh, that's
and said he wasn't going to leave until he got the tip.
Right. And I should also say, and I just want to make sure that we keep saying this, that it was our understanding, seriously, that the radio station was picking up the tab for this. The entire tab, and normally that includes a gratuity for the driver. If we tip a driver in a situation like that, it's usually because we had a great relationship with him, we thought he did a fantastic job, and, it's something where we want to say thank you. That wasn't the case for the reasons that Don has said.
Right.
But
all right. Thank you.
The company that I work with, we put a tip on the bill. The reason we put a tip on the bill is because if we didn't, we'd get stiffed all the time.
I think that's right.
You're
most
busy.
Limos do that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're busy, you got other things on your mind, and you want to get on your plane and go home.
All right. Thank
it's
you.
In the freaking morning.
Thanks,
you want to get on the plane and go home.
Thank you, my friend.
Limo drivers around the country now, uniting.
All right. Here's Jim, another limo driver. Jim.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Listen, everything you did was exactly correct. This jerk had no business trying to be as friendly with you as he could. The first thing that they teach us in limo school, if there is a limo school, is you shut your friggin' mouth.
he didn't do that.
No, he didn't.
And it wasn't even all that other crap, really. If the guy had just been...
Cool.
A little nicer.
Just cool.
If he had
the guy been a little cool, that would have been fine.
If he just said to Broyhill, hey, Don and Mike forgot to tip me. Then, okay, then, you got us.
It's a totally different deal. It's a combination of a lot of very negative circumstances that all came together, and it just didn't work out. And if a lot of things had been handled differently by the driver, it would have been a different
story. And then the guy standing in his, leaning on his car with his arms folded, looking at us through the big window.
It's 5:20 in the morning, okay? We're looking out the window. And he's got his eyebrows raised. It's like, F you.
Right. That's, at that point, we're in a pissing contest with that.
Absolutely.
Guy. Forget it. Hello, Jay. One more. Jay.
Tell them like radio guys.
Hey, buddy.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I've been in some gratuity-based businesses in the past, and to hear that guy demand a tip is just absolutely ludicrous. If he had any tact at all, what he would have done was he would have apologized for offering you guys lousy service and said something like, hey, What did I do wrong to not earn the tip so I can make sure it doesn't happen in the future?
That still would have been too much talking for us, I think, you know?
No, but he would have gotten his money if he had said that.
Absolutely.
He really would have.
Something other than strong arm.
Mm-hmm.
Was he a soprano?
No.
No, absolutely.
No.
I mean, the opposite of soprano.
No, it was strange.
And I got the feeling that he was trying to use the fact that because, you know, he thought that we were big shots, that he could just bully us into giving him some money.
Right, it didn't make a lot of sense.
Right. So, you know, ask them.
You know, really, I mean, if he thought we think like that, then he's mistaken also.
Forget it. I got no problem coming on the radio today and telling 6 million people. I didn't give the prick a tip.
You were right.
I didn't get a dime. And I don't have $20 in the hotel room like I always do for the maid.
I didn't. So, I always forget to do that. I'm sorry.
Well, I do. I mean, and I know I've been out with you. Well, you're equally generous with people.
No, when I go into a restaurant, we overtip. We both do, and that's just the way it always is.
The way it is.
Yeah, you got people that run around this town, like, writing down what you tip. So you have to be very careful about that.
Right.
It's terrific.
Hello, Bill.
Hey, Don, was that guy a barber? I mean, was he cutting your hair or was he a limo driver? Barbers talk to you, not limo drivers.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Okay, and also, I should say, barbers should touch you, too.
Yeah, that's the other thing that bothered me about the guy.
If they're good, but I'm so glad that I missed out on that part.
Hey, big guy, how's it going, big guy? Hey, crazy. How about all this rain, big guy, huh? What do you think, huh? 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 Touching.
I was like going, I literally was diving headfirst into the limo. Do you notice that I was first into the limo every single time?
Yeah, I know.
I'd dive headfirst in, he'd say, oh, yeah, and I just could kind of grumble at him.
All right, hold on, time out. Enough about the prick limo driver. We do have more, including one of the girls online here who buzzed latex.
Oh, very good.
At the show. So we will talk to her, and we do have other stuff about our trip back.
Yeah, I want to tell you all about my wonderful seatmate on the way from Wichita to St. Louis, who was a perfectly nice fellow who told me a story that almost made me want to, like, pop open the hatch of the plane and dive out.
You are the lucky man. We will be right back.
Billy, do you like the radio? Billy, do you listen to the Don and Mike show?
Hey, listen, let me throw this out. A program note tomorrow, for the first time in the year 2000, is the return of the slap-off.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. When we're going to ask for you big, muscly jarhead guys to come down, and it's a battle to the end to see which guy will back off first when guys slap each other in the face. And girls, you can win $100, too, because girls will be participating in the bare butt slap-off.
Ah, yes. It's a war of attrition, not necessarily strength.
Mm-hmm. So tomorrow, we'll need two guys and two girls.
Wonderful.
For the slap-off. If you're interested, you can book your spot now. Just a little slap. Call Toya at 1-877-365-3636. Otherwise, you know, we'll do it like we normally do. We'll just announce it at the beginning of tomorrow's show, and the first two guys, first two girls show up. They get to play tomorrow.
Always get an interesting clientele when we ask for the slap-off. Always some interesting people that come down to play.
It's been a long time, and I think the last time we had a male slap-off, it ended up being a draw.
They're usually draws.
Where we had two guys just slapping each other in the face, like, for an hour.
Yeah, it just goes back and forth and back and forth, and, you know, don't quit.
So, this guy on the airplane who sat next to you, you know, the rest of us lucked out. You know, for whatever reason, we were all in first class.
Yeah, we all got bumped up to first class.
When we flew back. Mm-hmm. So, and there was nobody in the plane. So, I had a seat and an empty seat next to me. Rob had a seat, an empty seat next to him. Broyhill had a seat, an empty seat next to him. Mike had a seat where at the last minute, this businessman gets on the plane and sits down.
Guy gets down, sits down on the plane. I can tell really quickly when someone sits next to me whether they're a talker or not. Now, 90% of the time, I like to talk on an airplane because it passes the time. I think I said that before we took the trip. If we talk on an airplane, it makes the time go faster for me. However, at 5:45 in the morning, talking is not what I always want to do. And, you know, it was a late night the night before, but it still will pass the time. I met a guy who talks more than I do on an airplane, which is saying something. And usually if I'm talking to somebody and I get the impression that, you know, they look away or they maybe reach for a book or something, I'll clam up.
You can take the hint.
I can easily take the hint. And this guy is a talker, and I'm That's fine. It doesn't bother me at all. So we start to talk. He's a nice enough guy. He's from Wichita. We're going back and forth, and we have a very nice conversation. And the plane takes off, and he's talking. Now, normally, as Dom will tell you, right at takeoff and on landing, I kind of like to just look out the window.
That's when my tense is up.
And be left alone, and that's how I deal with my anxiety. This guy starts to talk to me, and we're going back and forth. And I said, yeah, where are you from? He tells me where he's from. We're going back and forth, and he says, well, you know, I used to fly my own plane, but... I stopped doing that. I'm like, oh, really? And I'm saying, hey, this will be great if the guy was a pilot. It's kind of nice. I like to hear about flying, but this was not what I wanted to hear about while I'm in the airplane. And, you know, there's just a little light turbulence. And I'm sitting there talking to this guy, and the guy says, yeah, stop doing it, though. stop doing that after my crash. And I immediately, I feel my testicles go into my throat. And I'm saying to my, you know, I don't want to be rude to the guy, but at that moment I probably should have said, you know, I'd rather not hear about this story. This guy was a talker. We had, what, roughly a one-hour flight from Wichita to St. Louis.
As I went to sleep as the plane was taking off, and I heard this guy start his diatribe with you.
He starts, and I should have said right at the beginning, because I didn't realize that out of a one-hour flight, I would hear the 45-minute story of his plane crash.
No, you know what? It was longer than that.
Because
when the stew woke me up,
right,
the first thing I heard was this guy still talking, and all I heard Mike saying was, uh-huh.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
You don't hear that from me very much. I'm going, yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So it starts with Wichita and his nighttime flight from Wichita to Oklahoma. Oh, I guess Oklahoma City is the airport he was going at. And they said, you got to watch out for the high wires. I tell you, the high wires are tough. And I'm sitting there going, uh-huh. Why is he telling me this? The guy goes through the detail on how he makes one aborted landing, decides to pull around again, and he's trying to miss the high wires, but he doesn't quite know what he's doing. And then he brings the plane down and he realizes, what's he going to do? Because he doesn't have enough runway to land. So the first time he powers up and he just gets up to a certain point and he clips this edge of a cliff.
Ooh.
And because he's making a decision that he's not going to be able to land on the runway, and so he's going to have to pull, he's going to have to power up, but he doesn't power up in time. And so, you know, and I'm realizing, I really want to just stand up at my seat and say, we're going to have to land in a few seconds. I don't want to hear about your horrible, oh God,
He's talking to the world's biggest phobic flyer.
I am so trying to get over this.
And you're having this flight dry, I'd like to point out.
A bone. I'm not going to have a drink at 5:45 in the morning. And he's telling me how the landing gear shears off as he hits this cliff, and then the plane goes into a little ravine and lands on railroad track at night. And I'm sitting there going, okay, all I'm doing, all he's hearing me
let
say
me tell
is,
you, no, wait, the celebrity this guy most resembled is Eugene Levy from NCTV.
He's dressed like a businessman, and he is just going through this whole thing, and
he's talking
about
guys like Mel. He's got his initials on his sleeve of his shirt. He's got these big ass cufflinks.
I'm realizing now that I'm thinking about the guy why I didn't say, because the guy was as nice a guy as you'd want to meet. He doesn't have any idea that what he is telling me is making me seriously want to jump up, reach for the cockpit door, and jump out of the plane. He says, so we get over this ravine and I don't make it. I'll tell you right now. So it kind of shears off the landing gear and the plane goes down and we end up on a ravine. And he said, and I'm okay with that, right? If it stopped right there, and I'm like, he's gonna stop telling this story. So we look up and I can smell the fuel, and I'm like,
oh. Shut up.
He says, and I look up to open the hatch, and that the hatch in the crash, and that's the first time he says crash.
Crash.
And I go ah. He says, the hatch, the inside handle, that's also been sheared off. And then he's going into great detail saying, and it's incredible because the instrument panel has moved from here all the way over to here. And I'm going, yeah, uh-huh. Not the whole time realizing it's too late. He's telling me this story. It's driving me out of my mind. And he says, so I can smell the fuel. At this point, well, there's one buddy of mine that was supposed to meet me, and he saw the plane crash. And I'm like, ah! And he says, it was one of those unmanned airports, so he finally, like the caretaker, and they come down and they drive down to see me. Well, I can see the headlights down on the railroad tracks because we're teetering on this, and I'm hoping he can get us out. God! And he's got two passengers in the plane with him, and I just, at the end of it, he finally finishes, and I know he's at the end of the story. I said, well, I have to tell you right now, you've just told that story to a phobic flyer, and I hate your guts. Why did you have to tell me that story? And he finally finishes it. And then, after that, I mean, I'm over this guy. As nice a guy as he was, I'm over this guy, and you will testify to the fact. He talked
nonstop.
I mean, taxi. He's talking while he's getting his briefcase out of the overhead compartment. He's talking while he's walking to the door. He's talking. I just wanted to say, shut up!
Listen, everybody's mood was elevated.
Oh, my God.
As we were getting off the airplane in St. Louis,
right?
We were all getting off together. We're standing out there looking at the board, trying to figure out when our plane leaves for D.C. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, this woman, about 50, gets off the plane and just does a header.
Does a header. I followed her down the jetway. I don't know if she'd had a few cocktails. I don't think so. Or maybe she just had a little equilibrium problem. But she falls. And we later find out she falls in front of her husband, who was looking up at the screen and not even paying. And she's on her knees. She's on her knees. And she's going. Two people finally reach over to pick her up. I reach over, like, just stick my hand out as a token gesture to hold the woman's elbow up. And the husband's just like, you know, didn't he have that attitude?
Yes.
Get up.
Get up.
Come on.
She was on the ground. This old broad took a header.
Right.
She's lying on the ground. She's spread out. Yeah, she looks like Tony Soprano's mother.
Libby, I told you to get up.
And she goes, Arthur. That was his name. Arthur's
standing 2 inches from her, but he's a million miles away.
He's oblivious to the fact that his wife is just taking a header getting off the airplane.
You know, what time? This is what, 6:30 in the morning? All this crap is going on.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm basically recovering from my trauma, and this lady takes a header off the plane.
All I could do not to laugh at it. It was funny. It was funny. This old lady hobbles off the plane. Boom! And it's not the fact that she fell that was funny.
No.
It was the fact that her husband,
standing right next to her,
you know, who was like Red Neckerson,
and
who had on his Levi's and his rolled up Marlboro Man shirt and his backwards baseball hat on.
Finally, two other people assist the lady. I reach out, I hold her arm. The guy finally, like, assists his own wife. It was a weird flight into St. Louis, that's for sure. The flight attendant didn't like, you know, and not, you know, getting on, you know, gotta say, give the old props to TWA. We had a very nice flight in on TWA, but, you know, that plane was old once again. I don't think the flight attendant liked it when I got on the phone, and I said, the Spirit of St. Louis.
I didn't hear you say that.
Yeah, that's what I said. See, maybe that brought me the bad karma sitting next to the man who was going to tell me all about his plane crash.
Hello. Hey, Ashley.
Yes?
Now, here's a girl who was at our show on Friday night in Wichita who let Buzz liquid latex her.
Hello, Ashley.
Hello.
Now, did Buzz do your buttocks?
No, he did my cleavage.
Cleavage?
Yes.
And how was it for you, Ashley?
It was great.
And then did Buzz peel it off with his mouth?
Yes, he did.
Yes.
And you loved the experience.
It was very good. You guys did a great show.
Oh, thank you, Ashley.
Thank you, Ashley.
You're welcome.
Did you find Buzz to be sensuous?
Oh, very.
As he was peeling the latex off your bosom, could you hear him say, why doesn't my daddy love me? Did you hear him say that, Ashley?
No, I didn't.
Oh, all right.
All right, Ashley.
It was laughter through the tears.
Thank you, Ashley. Hello, Tyrone.
Yo.
Tyrone.
How's it going?
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, yo.
What's yo, up? Yo, D's nuts.
Hey, I want to do the slap off, man.
Haven't you already done it, Tyrone?
Yeah, I'm the defending champion.
Yeah, no, Tyrone, no offense. We need some fresh blood in here for
absolutely,
the slap off.
Tyrone, and, you know, you're far too talented for that.
Trying to diss a brother.
Yeah, no, we're not dissing a brother. No.
Okay, all right, just making sure. Well, let me give a shout out to my wife.
All right, go ahead.
Just want to say, hey, Maggie, I love you. I know you're listening
to me. Hey, Tyrone, what was that?
Huh?
What was that?
It was a shout out.
No, but what was that in the background?
What was what?
These nuts!
See you guys.
Goodbye, Tyrone.
See ya.
Goodbye. Goodbye. These nuts. We're so friggin' white.
We are.
We are so white. I want to tell you something. I talked to a black friend of mine over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy said to me, you realize that these nuts, he said, you know who Dr. Dre is?
Yeah, man.
I said, you know, hello, I'm not that white. Mm-hmm. Hello, I'm talking to this guy on the telephone during the basketball game yesterday. Mm-hmm. And he calls up mainly to talk about Duke and Kansas, because he knows that I'm
I'm not a big Duke fan, and I enjoy it when Duke loses.
Right.
So at this point, Kansas has like a 13-4 lead over Duke. So the phone rings.
Nice pass, incidentally, Kansas. Nice pass at the end of the game.
It's this guy, and I pick him up and go, hello, and blah, blah, we're talking about it. And at one point, I said to him, I said, hey, did you just see that? And he said, what? And I said, he's not.
Like a newfound thing.
And there's silence, and I hear, and he goes,
I want to tell you something.
He's got a real deep voice. He goes,
do you know who Dr. Dre is?
And I said, yeah, of course. He's, you know, he's one of today's hottest rap stars.
Thank you.
And he said,
These Nuts was on the Dr. Dre album about a year ago.
Yeah, we're a little behind the curve.
He said, any brothers that are listening to your show think that you're so white because that was a year ago. These Nuts, that is so yesterday.
And I said, oh, Jesus. All right, thanks for telling me.
Sorry about that.
And then at one point, something else happened on TV, and I said to him, what's up? And then he said again, he said,
that's old, too.
Oh, come on, man.
it was a little insight, you know, into the world of the brothers.
I know.
He's telling me this whole These Nuts thing, man, we're a year late on.
Hey, we're pathetic. You know, yeah, we're behind the curve. We can enjoy it.
Hello, Tiny.
Yeah.
Tiny, hello.
How are you?
Great, thank you.
I want to do the slap off.
You want to be in the slap off? Why are you named Tiny?
Well, because people have seen me in the shower.
No, seriously, are you a big man?
I'm pretty good sized.
How big are you, Tiny?
About 6'5", about 330.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Tiny, sure, yeah.
That's terrific.
If you'd like to participate in the male slap-off tomorrow, yeah, we'll have you down.
All right,
hold on a second.
All right, thanks.
Toya, we'll get your information.
Now what would make that really work is if we get a, you know, his combatant, his battle guy will be about 140 pounds.
Right, a real Jeremy Coleman type.
Absolutely.
That's what we like. We do love the opposites attract.
Yeah, because sometimes on the slap-off, if we have that kind of mismatched battle, the first slap from Tiny will knock the guy's head clean off.
Like Laurel and Hardy. We have to do this. We'll be right back. Time for a station break. If you live in Lafayette, Louisiana, station is KBOL 105.9 FM. Rochester, New York, WHTK, and Sacramento, California, good old KHTK.
Truly campy chaps, Don and Mike.
KHTK Sacramento. Like me to say home of the Kings.
All right. Good thing.
So I just said it.
Well, we're both very big Kings fans.
As long as they keep winning, we are.
Absolutely.
Now listen. Oh, and as soon as we go to New York, we'll be Knicks fans.
Yep.
We'll be giant Knicks fans.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as we go to New York City.
And then maybe someday we get to, you know, that L.A. affiliate, we'll become Lakers fans.
It'll now
be,
listen. I do have something I want to throw out for our listeners in Baltimore.
Okay, which has virtually no major sports team.
I know they have the Orioles.
The Orioles, come on, what do you mean they don't have a major sports team?
And they have the Ravens. But listen, it has nothing to do with sports. There's a story that's been going on all weekend in Baltimore that I cannot figure out.
Right.
It's this Palczynski guy.
Mm-hmm.
And why these guys, Kaczynski, Palczynski, all of the nut jobs in our society, they have virtually the same rhyme to their names. You know, you see the name Palczynski, immediately something should go off and say, I'm a psychopath.
I know, Mr. Palczynski.
Here's this guy's story. This guy's been wanted. They've had a manhunt on for this guy
right. For
like 2 weeks. Okay. 3 days ago, they found this guy in Dundalk, Maryland. They found him outside Baltimore in Dundalk. For 3 days, this guy has been in a house where he's holding hostages. He wanted to talk to his ex-girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So what he did was, he kidnapped, like, the girl's parents and maybe one of her children. And it's ridiculous that it's gone on like this for 3 days, and I understand the position that he has hostages in there, but I see it on the news, and I see these people who live in this apartment complex around where this guy is holding up.
They're all being evacuated.
Yeah, they've not been able to get into their homes. One lady said that, and they've not been able to leave. The people who are inside can't leave, and the people who are outside can't go in. One lady was on TV saying that, you know, my mother is like 85, and she needs her medication.
Right.
She's been calling me on the cell phone. I can't come in to give her medication because the cops won't let us go.
Yeah, they've got the whole area sealed.
I'm amazed by the fact that a madman... I understand that a guy holds hostages, isn't it? And it's a very volatile situation.
Right.
What I'm amazed at is that this is now entering very soon the fourth day.
Yeah, it's they really are trying to end it peaceably, but
right. When
you have the hostages, I mean, there are not a lot of options.
Well, listen, here's where I'm coming from on this. Have you seen the movie The Negotiator with Sam Jackson?
Yeah, right.
Okay. You got all those SWAT dudes in Baltimore. What you do is you get the guy on the telephone and you get him by a window. And even if he's holding somebody hostage, you use one of those guns.
Shooters.
You use one of those guns where you put the little laser light right on the guy's head.
Right.
And boom, lickety-split, you just blow his friggin' head off.
Now, do you think that maybe they, you know, had the opportunity to do that, or do you?
I don't know. This is why.
I mean, the one thing that's tough about these situations is you don't get a lot of information on the details of the case.
Right. And this is why I think it's time that I be brought in
to negotiate,
to help with this negotiation. Uh-huh.
What would you say to the guy that's holding the hostage?
Come out, or we are going to get one of the guns with a little red light on it, and we're gonna, your head's going to blow up like in the movie Scanners.
Well, then he gets angry and he wastes all his hostages.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you waste him first.
But no, he'd do that, you know, if you were to say that to him, you would,
okay.
And you have to get a
all
clean
I'm
shot.
Saying is, I could come up with a better plan after 4 days. How long are we going to let this guy continue to do this?
If he were, you know, the cops would probably tell you that if he releases the hostages safely and the thing ends peaceably, 5, 6, 7 days wouldn't matter as long as they, you know, they ended it without a...
I understand that.
Right. I'm giving you, you know, the company line on that.
All I know is that this is a guy that the cops have been chasing.
Right.
For 2 weeks, and they can't find this guy.
It would be totally different, of course, if he didn't have the hostages with him.
I understand that, but don't you think that the cops are sophisticated enough?
You would like
that
them
they
to use...
certainly have some kind of plan where they can throw grappling hooks up on the side of the building and have guys, you know.
Do you think it would be your experience that the cops have the sophistication to solve these things peaceably or to, you know, successfully every time?
Do you not think that the cops can climb up a building like Batman used? You know how Batman used to throw his battering up a building and climb
I think the cops are capable of doing a lot of things. They got a lot of technology at their disposal. But when it comes to a hostage situation, if he's not near a window and they really...
Well, then,
they're probably
by the window.
I'm
not the negotiator, but at some point, the guy's been up there 4 days. The guy's on Viveran or whatever. You know, whatever he's on, he's got to be sleeping. You know, you talk him on the television.
Sometimes they actually assess the guy's condition mentally.
I've already got it assessed.
The guy's a loon. They're trying to get him on the phone. In fact, they've been using megaphones trying to get him to pick up the phone, and he won't do it.
Okay.
So they don't even know if everybody's alive.
Right. He fired more shots this afternoon, and we don't know if anybody got hit or not.
Okay. Then you know what you do at that point? You just bite the bullet. Say, the guy, we're hearing shots.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what's going on. Break the friggin' door down and have a million cops go in and just shoot this mother. Just shoot him. I mean, it's going on 4 days now.
What about the hostages, though?
For all we know, the hostages might already be dead.
Well, if they're not.
You've already heard that.
I'm just giving. I'm not playing devil's advocate. I'm playing devil's advocate.
Yes, you are.
What are you? I mean, really, if the hostages
okay,
are
then,
alive.
You know what? Then I'll play devil's advocate with you. What the hell? Let's just block off the entire month of April for Palczynski or a. What's his name?
Palczynski.
Right. Let's just make April the official month of Palczynski and let him just hold court in there. Let's bring him pizzas. Let's bring him donuts. Let's give him cable TV. Let's make him as comfortable as we possibly can.
If it took a month and none of the hostages were killed, it would probably be worth it. If anything less than a month was going to result in one of the hostages getting killed, that would probably, you know, if it was purely those terms.
Simply frustrated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because even when you look at something like, you know, if you go back to Waco, you know, you look at something like Waco, even then, you know, after all that time had passed, and they finally went in, and look what happened. I mean, you know, and that was just
I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying, you know, how about just being a little proactive on this? You know, you don't have to tell me about it. You don't have to come out and go to Channel 11 and say, here's what we're going to do. You know, we're going to have guys climb down the side of the building, and we're going to get our gun in there, and we're going to pick him off.
So this situation...
But do it!
This situation angers you.
Yes, because it's been 4 days now, and it pisses me off that a guy can just hold up for 4 days. I understand your entire point about hostages, and I agree. If it was my family in there, I would be screaming, don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not my family in there, so I can scream.
It's so hard.
Why don't you do something about
it? It's so hard. I mean, it really is. It's probably the most difficult thing in police work to do.
I hate the negotiating with these guys. I really hate it. There's got to be a way around it.
You know, there are cases where your theory is right and there are cases where it's wrong. There are cases where waiting too long results in the horrible, tragic end to a situation like this. And there are times when if you don't wait long enough. I mean, it's such an inexact science to see something like this
happen.
And
also, the reason I bring this up is since we're on in Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe some people who know this dude will call us up.
Maybe he's listening to the radio.
Yeah. Hey, absolutely.
Give him up.
Palczynski.
Palczynski.
Palczynski. Mm-hmm. If you're listening, call the show. I'll make a deal. I will trade Rob Spiewak for all of the hostages.
Don, that is a brilliant idea.
Great.
Rob, are you up for it?
Yeah, bring it on.
Rob Spiewak, you know what his nickname is? The Human Shield.
You can hide behind Rob as you're going to your helicopter. Yeah. But they haven't even made contact with this guy yet.
No, they haven't. They do know that he's watching television, because, and that's one of the problems. He can see any move that may take place outside of that house,
right,
because the cameras are
all right, then if I'm the
place.
Cops, here's the first thing I do. Right. So you know what, TV guys? Mm-hmm. You know. F off.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Get the copters out of the sky. Get the reporters out of here. Goodbye. If anything bad happens or anything good happens, we'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Just leave. You know, right there, they're playing right to this guy's hand. This guy is probably J-O-ing, watching all this coverage on television.
The thing is, though, you know, it goes either way. And maybe what they're doing is the right thing. Maybe they should have done it, you know, ended it as quickly as it began. You never know with stuff like that. Right? You know, I mean,
I don't know. It's just frustrating.
It's always frustrating.
I just hate seeing a nut job who is able to stop all these people's lives.
To paralyze the city, basically. Yes. Yeah, I know.
Just because he's some idiot with a gun. I mean, I understand everything you are saying, and I agree with that. However, you know, some guy, at some point, one of these guys has got to be made an example out of.
Well, what's horrible, too, is if, you know, you said that there were shots fired, you know, and they can't see inside.
Right, we don't know.
Is it an apartment that he's in?
I thought it was a house.
A house,
I believe.
Okay.
Or,
you know,
even better, but it's by a big, like, garden apartment.
Right.
Because they had to evacuate some of the people in the end, and some of the people can't get out of the garden apartment.
And even better, here's what you do. Okay, I'm going to give you another solution now.
Okay.
You get the TV stations to help you. You give the TV stations a fake tape where they say, we're in front of the Dundalk residence now. And you show a tape of, like, cops sleeping and cops eating donuts and stuff.
Or the cops driving away.
Yeah.
Right. The cops have given up and saying that there's just no need to pursue it any further.
And then the guy will look out the window to see if what he's seeing on TV is true.
Have to do it on all the networks, though. You know, all three networks
sure,
would have to be, maybe PBS and all that.
2,
know.
13, 11, do it on all the stations.
Right.
Then when the guy looks out the window to see if the cops are really still there,
yep.
Boom! Bullet between the eyes. The guy is just a useless prick.
Yeah.
And it's just, I'm frustrated the more I see it. And the more, you know, and it's the TV people that make me angry also.
No, he's in there, yeah.
The more I see the coverage when I see the talking heads who love just saying to you, this is now entering its 52nd hour. The standoff continues.
They, you know, a lot of people would tell you that's some of the contributing factors to these situations.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly has an effect out in L.A. When you see those guys on the freeway, you know that the TV coverage making it into, you know, the NBC mystery movie when the guy runs from the law. You know that has to have an effect on these guys. You know, the guy, when he's running from the law, he knows he's probably going to be caught. He knows he's going to go to jail. So why not be on the TV?
Well, shoot the bastard.
That's what I say. You get a,
Mike,
get,
my
a,
brother.
Get a clean shot at him.
Here he is now.
Just kill him. Hello? Is this Palczynski?
No, this is not Palczynski.
Who is this?
What? This is Jeff.
Jeff, hello,
I thought
Jeff.
It was Gavininsky for a second there.
Hello,
buddies.
Hey, buddy.
First of all, we need to let Buzz know to go easy on the fear mongering, because we don't.
On the what?
On the fear mongering.
How are you
fear mongering, Buzz?
I'm not sure. I'd like to hear from this guy.
I would too.
Well, if you remember, Buzz was the one that said the stock market was going to crash in the year 2000.
All I know, now I never said that. I said what goes up must come down. That's what I said.
You news people. You got nothing to say, so you got to make stuff up.
That's right. That's what I do. I sit at home, and I make stuff up.
Oh, come on. Now, don't get him going. He's getting past this whole thing with his father. The fact that his dad doesn't love him.
Yeah, one crisis at a time.
Okay, please. Hello. Hello. All right, here's Mike calling us from Baltimore. Mike.
Yes, Don. How are you today?
Hey, buddy.
Well, if Bob Palczynski,
yeah.
The SWAT teams and everything that you're talking about are the ones you see on TV. In Baltimore, they had an armored car that was driving around, and they were thinking about moving people and things. He shot at it, hit it one time, it broke, and they had to get a new one.
Wow.
Are you making that up?
No, I am not.
The guy shot at the armored car, and it broke?
Hit it one time, and they had to bring in a new armored car.
Unbelievable,
okay,
man.
Thank you,
yeah.
Faster than a speeding bullet.
Hey, this armored car is broken. We can't fix it. What are you going to do? Well, I don't know. I don't even know how to turn it on. Hey, this car is broken.
Hey, right on. We're sitting out here. He fires one shot, and now we can't even use the armored car.
The armored car is broken.
Oh, man. Did you change the oil?
Hello, Chris.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike. How, Buzz?
Hey, buddy.
Listen, that guy, he actually shot the armored car and he hit the tire. The guy needs to watch the news a little bit more.
But how come the tires aren't
aren't armored.
Well, why, can't they just change the tire? Why'd they have to get a whole new armored car? Could they just change the tire?
They pulled the state police armored car in there.
Don't they have a kind of armored car that if it gets a bullet in the tire...
Like James Bond.
At least like it won't deflate, that it'll just like go into the rubber? Hey. Like a NASCAR tire.
Right.
This guy, this is 11, 12 days now, this guy terrorizing.
You know what would help? I just got a brainstorm. What? You want to get that guy to give himself up?
Yes.
You bring in Cal. Have Cal come in with a big quart of milk.
Say hello. This is Cal. Kalzinski, if you would come out, I will let you take batting practice with the O's.
And you can play catch with me, Cal Ripken. The biggest Oriole ever to play the game.
Well, I mean, I know you guys have come down to Bohagers and all the time. So you see what the people of Dundalk and the people of Baltimore look like and act like.
Oh, I love them. I love each and every one of them. I didn't want to sit here and have you diss them, sir.
Oh, no. Well, I'm a paramedic in the city. I love Baltimore City.
There you go.
But the thing is...
Start a tracheotomy. I don't care if he's got good color and he's breathing. Start a trache.
Hey, listen, Palzinski, we have Art Donovan out here, Lenny Moore, and Johnny Unitas.
Brooks Robinson just showed up, too. Congratulations.
Well, these people, I tell you, they're about ready to go in there and get in themselves. They're so angry with this guy, and they're so scared. I mean, he shot the person, the one lady, right down the street from my house.
Did she make it?
No. In fact, right down the street where he carjacked the one lady who was pregnant.
This guy's a monster. This guy should just be killed.
Well, I was working the night he did that, and I was at Johns Hopkins, and the little boy that he shot came in, and I saw him. I mean, it's an absolute travesty what this guy is doing to people. I mean, I've got two real big dogs, and I live in a one-bedroom apartment on the first floor, and I'm scared to death at night because my wife is home by herself, but, I mean, I got two dogs. But
he has, you know, you're right, and you have tapped into, he has terrorized the city of Baltimore.
And this is my point. I agree logically with everything you said.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks to be logical in that situation because you do say to yourself, you know, he is holding the city hostage, basically. Mm-hmm. But if it does, as bad as it is, if it saves the lives of whoever's in there, you gotta just
handle
it the right way.
That's why you need someone irrational in charge. That's why.
Like you.
I'm ready. I'm up for it.
You'd be the first one in line that would feel like crap if anything ever happened. If you knew that if you'd waited 1 hour longer, you could have saved the lives of everybody.
Does the police know how many times I've seen the negotiator? Many scenes I know verbatim when Kevin Spacey's trying to talk his wife out of the bathroom because his little girl said that she looked real large in her ski suit. And when he's pretending to be mad at his daughter, and he goes, "I'm very angry with you. Hang up that phone now."
I'd rather deal with Samuel L. Jackson than Kevin Spacey if I was, if I'd gone off my rocker. I mean, if I heard that smarmy Kevin Spacey voice on the other line, I love Kevin Spacey, but yeah, you hear him, it's like, give yourself
That's why they need me. It's, hey, Belzinski.
How do you do it? Okay.
Your favorite disc jockey is on the phone right now.
Hello?
Hey, douchebag. What did you call me? You big pussy, come outside. I'll kick your ass.
Don't talk to me like that.
Hey, look, I got some chicks are taking their shirts off. Look out the window.
I'll be right out. Situation over.
There you go.
Don Geronimo, American hero.
Right between the eyes. It's frustrating. It's frustrating that one prick.
Yeah, I know.
Can do this.
Can you imagine? I mean, that guy that was the paramedic that called. I mean, it just sucks. I mean, you don't even have to be in the neighborhood to be terrorized by this guy.
Hello, Jim.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment. You know, we've got all this military technology, and it should be used to get this guy out of there. Because they take an armored car in there that's
$100,000. I love guys that make arguments like that.
Hey, come on, we got all this technology. No, we don't. We don't.
I'll be honest with you. We don't have things that can see through walls.
Right. The James Bond movie isn't true. I did see the James...
On the vehicle, you fill the tires with foam, not with air. That way you can't shoot them out. Pretty common sense.
I did see the latest James Bond movie, though, in Wichita.
Right.
Cool movie, man. The one that was out around Christmas time with Denise Richards, the girl with the big Joker smile.
How's she looking in that movie?
She's good. She looks pretty good. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of her. The other girl is really the Bond girl, the girl who ends up being the bad guy in the movie.
She's sexy, too.
But they end up giving him... He's got the coolest toys, man.
Yeah.
He had another one of those BMWs that he can drive with remote control.
That's the last movie that the guy that gives him the toys, made it.
Hugh.
Right? Hugh bought the farm.
Yeah. And he puts these glasses on, and they're X-ray glasses, and he can, like, see girls. He can see through their clothes, but he can also see if someone has a gun or something.
That's cool.
Very cool.
They do have technology. It's just not, unfortunately, it's not available to, you know, to all these police departments.
Certainly not to the Dundalk PD.
No. Come on, can I have the x-ray thing that makes me see through the wall? Please?
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike show.
How you guys doing?
Hey.
Hey, Don. My uncle's a SWAT officer in Sacramento.
Yes.
They have a zero tolerance rule. If it's not, it's pretty much not done in 11 hours, they take the house.
I don't believe you, sir. I don't believe you. There's absolutely no, there are no hard and fast rules when you're talking about hostages. They're not, and you know that.
Yeah, but after 3 to 4 days and shots fired in the house, most obviously the hostages are dead by now, and he's just trying to negotiate.
I look past no
the guy I want on the other end if I'm, you know, if I get a guy pointing a gun at my head.
Listen, I hope nobody's dead, but just understand my frustration. I think the frustration a lot of people in Baltimore are feeling right now. It's like, hey, 4 days.
Right.
4 days is a long time for some nut job to be holed up in this house.
Well, I don't doubt that they're probably trying different things. They're probably trying, you know, not only trying to make contact with the guy, but they probably are trying to use maybe some technology to get some more information, to maybe get a look at what's going on inside the house.
Well, how about starting by turning off the TV?
Well, I think if you turn off the TV and these people are alive, you don't want to do something that's going to cause him to pull the trigger.
Okay, well, gee whiz, why don't we just keep giving him what he wants then? At some point, when do you say, you know, you got to do something?
You do have to
turn off the goddamn TV, turn off the cable, make him watch on the antennas.
I think in this case, you probably do something when it's...
Is he still getting premium channels? Could we at least, could we take away his HBO?
That's a good point.
You know, could you just give him the basic 2, 11, and 13?
You know what's funny is when you talk like this, I can actually transport you into a precinct house and see you standing around with, like, coordinating the operation.
Make him just watch regular...
Take away his premium channel.
You know, make this guy watch the Ainsley Harriet show.
Oh, God.
One day,
that would
guarantee,
get me out of the house.
He comes out with his hands in the air. He says, enough!
I tell you, if Ainsley Harriet shakes his pelvis one more time, I'm going to barf.
Please. Well, it's frustrating, and I just wanted to voice that. And if Palczynski's listening, and something tells me that knowing the makeup of this audience, he probably is a regular listener of this show.
Certainly.
Call us, you stupid son of a bitch. Call us, we'll give you a forum. And then you let those people go. And if you want to kill yourself, you kill yourself on the air. Because that's what these cowards always end up doing.
Yeah, they do.
They always end up killing themselves.
90% of the time, especially the more horror that they inflict on everybody else, the more likelihood that they're going to put a bullet in their own head.
Okay.
So that's all I wanted to say.
Just call us. Open line to Palczynski.
And even though we didn't see eye to eye on all of that, Don, I still think what you said was very patriotic in some way.
Right back at you, buddy.
Thank you very much.
That's the way the show works. It's the yin and the yang.
Right. But of course, two total patriots. No commies here.
Three words, though. I'll leave you with three words. Storm the castle. It is time to storm the castle.
You would want one of those special robots that, like, breaks through walls, and you'd be driving it.
I'd be remote controlling it, yeah. Right. But it would be my voice coming out of the speaker. Hey, douchebag. Where are you? Let me see your face. You stupid pussy. Your mother's a whore. Step out. Palczynski, step out.
It probably would work.
And then as soon as even if I saw a finger, boom, I get one of my sharpshooters with the little red laser lights on there.
Ow.
Take his finger off.
Ow.
Ooh. Ow. I've seen that movie at least 5 times.
Well, you know, you always hope for the best. I certainly, and I know we, you know, without all kidding aside, we do hope that that the thing ends and maybe all the hostages are alive and that they
get. I hope he's dead, though. I truly do.
Well,
I hope a cop just takes him out.
I'm inclined to agree with you on that one.
I know cops do that all the time. You know, just kill him. Make up a story. Kill him and then, you know, take a gun and put it in his hand. I've seen this done in the movies, too.
You're right, Chief.
You know, kill the guy and then, like, you ever see Copland?
Oh, sure, where they put the, they put the gun in the hand.
Right.
Wipe off the prints of your own hand and then they fire the gun in his dead hand so he gets the powder burns out
of
his
head.
We're all children of the movies here.
It's all there. It's all in the movies.
It's all there. You can write a manual.
That's where all the answers are. All right. Thank you. Thank you for giving me a few moments of your valuable time.
I found it very entertaining.
We will be right back. What do you say we cut the chit-chat a-hole?
Like a daily 4-hour Hot Carl, the Don and Mike Show.
All right, before we can move on to a lighter topic, as always, guys like this, here's a guy who would like to say he agrees with what you said. Okay, Russ? 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 All right, well, there's always these guys. That guy I want to say agreed with what you said. Scott?
Hey, Don.
You want to say you agree with what I said?
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Hey, Joe. Hey,
that is fair.
That is what I call spirited debate.
Sometimes it just expedites things.
Of course it does.
Yeah, but we've already given our views.
Right. I don't think anything, and you'll agree with me on this, I don't think there are, you know, there's so many different shades of it, too. I mean,
right.
It's really concrete.
Right. Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yes.
Hey, the thing with Palzinski, I know you finished talking about it, but there's one thing you didn't think about. They should drug this guy. They're sending, he's ordering food, and the police are sending it in with robots. They sent him waffles this morning. He ordered waffles.
You know, usually when you get guys that have the thing all figured it out, you have problems with it. That sounds...
I've got to say, that's like a great idea.
You just give everybody, put everybody to sleep. But then again, if the guy felt like he was
being
drugged...
Well, who cares if they put them all to sleep?
No, I said that. I'm agreeing with you, sir.
That is an excellent idea.
But I will tell you, if he felt like he was being drugged... You know, that would probably be easy to... But then again, that stuff they gave me for my colonoscopy, I didn't even know I was out.
What if one of the hostages nodded off first, then he'd know, you know, what was going on.
Well, I guess so, but I don't know. It seems to make sense to me.
Yeah, no, you know what? I'd do it. What the hell? I'd do it.
You know what? What you do is you bring in on the robot, you bring a little cassette player, and you play the Yoko Ono alarm.
Ah. Well, no, listen, on the little robot, what you do is, I'm sure on the robot they have some kind of a camera.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm sure that they have some kind of a video link to this guy. I don't know how you manipulate him into taking the magic bagel. You know, but on one of the bagels, just put some rat poison.
Sure.
You know, or find out what kind of donut the guy likes best. The guy likes chocolate covered with Jimmies on it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the chocolate covered with Jimmies, that's what you put the cyanide in.
You know, they're working, I guess, one of the areas of high tech for police departments. They're always working on non-lethal ways of, apprehending suspects. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe they could just put a big butterfly net around him.
I think this guy is on to something. I really do.
Drugging his food.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, if he hears this, we've blown that out of the water.
Or, you know, kids, take some X-Lax.
Mm-hmm.
Put X-Lax in his food. Make him crap in his pants.
Crap your pants?
Because if he has to crap his pants.
Crap your pants, that'll end the stamp off.
Right. Well, then he goes to the John. And he goes to the John. You know what I mean?
What ended the standoff? He crapped his pants.
Well, if he has to go to the bathroom, his guard is down for a second.
Right. You know, believe it or not, the idea about drugging his waffles, not a bad
idea. An excellent idea. Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
And I know you said it just to be a show off, Mike, but here you go.
Starts holding his head, drops his weapon.
I think he said it just to set off the Yoko Ono alarm.
I just wanted to hear it. I couldn't help it because I love Yoko Ono.
You know, Paul's serious about the one-legged girl.
Oh, big time, yeah. It looks like it's going to be the next Mrs. McCartney.
Right.
Hello, Paul.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Paul, take off me leg. And give me a good one for. Hey, Paul.
You got it.
Yeah, I'm in the mood for love.
Bloody good.
Screw off me leg. Give me some of your hot beat on me. Beat on me.
Beatle. The Beatles. People agree the Beatles. Greatest writing rock band of all time.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah.
Have you seen me leg?
Well, I don't know. Keep it off. I'll give you a good what for. That's right. Because I'm Paul McCartney. Beatle.
If I take me leg off, we can do it all kinds of crazy poses and whatnot.
Absolutely whatnot.
Whatnot.
I can only make love to you if you tell me you love the Beatles.
I love the Beatles. As a matter of fact, sometimes I take off me fake leg and I drum right along with my favorite Beatles songs.
Way to go. Let's shag. That's right. Beatles.
Look right here what I wrote on the inside of me fake leg when I was a teenager.
What's that?
I love Paul.
Oh, that's right. Crikey. Let's shag. To the Beatle music. How about I, Jude? There you go.
All right. I'll keep time with my fake leg.
How about this one? We'll screw to I Wanna Out Your Hand.
That's all right. Help me take off me fake leg, though.
No problem. Then we'll put on Help,
I need somebody. Help.
Not just anybody.
Help.
Oh, my. When I become Mrs. Paul McCartney, I'm going to have 100 different fake legs.
Oh, God.
My mom is going to be so proud. I've had the same fake leg since I was a girl.
Hello.
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 Hello, fake leg store. This is Linda McCartney.
Excuse me. This is the new Mrs. McCartney.
Send them all over.
That's right.
I'd like a variety of your best fake legs.
And start it with diamonds, please.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Paul?
Yes?
I'm on the telly with the fake leg store. What color do you want me toenails to be?
Oh, how about yellow?
Like Yellow Submarine.
Oh, that's right, Yellow Submarine. Another great song from the Beatles. The Beatles.
Hey, Paul.
That's right.
Ringo's on the phone.
He's a loser.
He wants to know why you're dating a one-legged girl.
Tell Ringo it's not his bloody business, and you're a great-eyed piece of ass. There you go. Better than anything Ringo ever shagged. That's for sure. And tell him congratulations on his latest sellout bloody commercial where he says all the big words.
Oh, the Charles Schwab commercial.
Yeah, Ringo. Oh, come on. And tell him to shave his neck. Tell him to shave his bloody neck.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah?
Have you seen me leg? Because I want to make you another big steak. Since now you eat meat all the time since Linda's gone.
That's right. Fire me up a big roast. How about some London broil? I like it boiled, please.
Give me a spoon. I need to stir this. Never mind. I'll just take off me fake leg. And stir it with me fake leg.
Hey, there you go. It tastes better when you do that. And all this is some Beatles music.
Oh, Mum, I'm so happy. Paul's bought me just 5 legs just this week. Mum, that Paul, I came home last night. There was another new leg, Mom.
Oh, you stumbled into a great one there, Missy. He's good for you. But make sure you still listen to those Beatles records.
Oh, Mom. He knows just what kind of leg a girl wants.
I got one question for you.
Yeah, Mom.
He's not still having Ringo come over all the time, is he?
All the time, and Mommy smells.
If you see Ringo, will you do your mum a favor?
Of course, Mummy.
Tell Ringo to shave his neck. It's disgusting. He don't have a chin, and he's got hair. Stubbly, nasty hair right down on his neck.
I'll tell you what he said the other day, Mum.
This Ringo said?
He came over to the flat.
Oh, yeah, your flat.
And Paul says, hey, you stupid broke bastard, why are you doing those commercials? You're giving the Beatles a bad name.
That's right.
And he says, well, at least my girlfriend's got 2 legs.
Oh, did he say that? Did they get in a fist fight?
No. Paul said, honey, can I borrow your leg? And then I took it off, and he beat Ringo with it.
There you go. He gave him what for, eh?
He beat him with my fake leg.
Yeah, well.
No, boogers, it was true.
That's right. Well, you go home and give him a good shag. There you go, and tell Ringo to bugger off.
He shags me without me leg, Mom.
Shags you rotten?
Shags me. Not like the other boys. Not like when I was shagging with Eric Clapton. And Mick Jagger.
Hello.
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 Hello. Do your mom a favor. Take a picture of him naked. You know, your mom likes to look.
All right, Mom.
Had a girl. That's right. My girl. That's my good girl.
He bought me another leg, Mom.
Oh, he's a special one. He's a special one, that boy.
He surprised me.
There you go.
It was in the back seat of the car. I said, Paul, why is the top down on the car? It's such a nasty, cold day. Well, little did I know. He said, go to the window, my love. And I went to the window, and there it was. Another brand new leg. That's the 4th one he's got me this week, Mom.
It's a special bloke. You got a special bloke there. You could have been unlucky and stumbled into smelly old Ringo. How's George Harrison doing since he got the guy attacking him?
Oh, he's so paranoid, Mom.
Is he now?
Yes.
Oh, that's a shame.
And every time he says something about me fake leg...
What do you say to him?
Well, Paul hides behind the counter. And then he jumps up and goes, "Boo, I'm going to kill you."
Oh, they're a crazy lot, those Beatles.
Oh, the Mop Tops, Mom. Oh, they kid each other all the time.
Have you had a chance to meet Yoko?
Paul says she's an effing bitch.
Oh, I agree. And she sounds awful. I hate her. I hate her totally.
She came over once and she says to me, now I'm not good with the accents, Mom, but I'll tell you what she said. She said, "Hello. You're the bloke who's dating the girl with one ring."
Oh, I hope you gave her what for.
Oh, I did, Mom.
There you go. That's me, good girl. Has Elton come over at all?
He's come over. He loves me leg.
I tell you, has he still got the problem with the chronic flatulation?
Oh, he smells, Mum. He smells.
That boy, he eats too much cabbage in his diet. And he should change his toupees more regularly.
He's very nice, though, Mum.
We got the whole British music scene covered now, don't we? Fantastic. Tally-o.
When Yoko came over, I said, "I'm going to read your fortune from a fortune cookie." And I opened up and I said, "You're a bitch."
There you go. That's telling her what for.
And then Paul came over and said, "Honey, you turned me on so much. Take off your leg. Let's shine."
Ah, way to go. You keep him happy. He's the good one. Not like them others.
The good Beatle.
That's right. Now your mother's going to go fix her boiled meat and pudding.
And Mom, one last...
Blood pudding.
One last thing.
Yes.
Paul's going to buy you a leg too, Mom.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'm so excited, I'll just saw this one right off. There you go. That's me, good girl. You want some sausages? That's what we like.
They're boiled.
You know, I love cooking British style because the food is so good. Here's what I'm making for dinner. Do you want to hear me, love?
Let me hear, Mom. Let me take my leg off and sit down.
First of all, I get a whole bucket of blood. I pour it over and put it on the stove and I put sausages in it. And then I put a stick in and stir some pudding in there. So it's blood and sausages. And pudding.
Hey, let me tell Paul. Paul, you should hear what Mum's cooking.
I'm making blood and sausages and pudding.
Blood and sausages.
Oh, it's extra good. Extra thick blood.
Paul says that's his beetle favorite.
Beetle favorite. All right. Have a big bowl of it and then fart. Tally-o.
Tally-o, Mum. Hello, hello, Billy.
Billy?
Yes.
Billy, hello, you're on the air, Billy.
All right, I'd like to take on Tiny and the Slap Off.
Oh, you know, I've totally forgot about that tomorrow we're having the man-on-man and woman-on-woman Slap Off.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Are you a small, skinny guy?
About 5'6", 5'7", about 200 pounds.
Man, that's pretty big. Well... You know, but if he could put up a challenge for Tiny...
It's not a battle of strength. That's why right. We do, you know, we ask for the skinny guy. But, I mean, if, you know, you... Nope, the 140-pound guy is not calling.
Yeah, it's a first-come, first-serve. So, Billy, if you would like to take Tiny on in the slap-off...
Billy.
You're in, Billy.
Absolutely.
All right, hold the line, please, okay?
Okay.
One of our representatives will be online with you in just a moment.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Billy.
Billy.
Thank you, Billy. Hello, Rich.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm a little slow here. I'm like one of Jerry's kids, but I was wondering.
All right. Goodbye. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that.
Bio. Right. Hello, Joseph.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, buddy.
How you doing, guys?
All right, you're calling from Baltimore. Are you calling about this Palzinski guy?
Yeah.
I think aren't we done with him now? Unless
I think we solved that problem.
Unless he actually calls the show himself.
Right.
I think we've said everything we have to say about it.
All right. Can I ask one question now?
Okay.
One question.
Yes.
Did they get back together?
Did who get back?
He's not.
Oh, no.
Your butt cheeks.
Oh, my God. Sorry.
F you.
I thought he was going to say D's nuts. I really thought he was setting you up for a D's nuts. Just wobbled right into that.
I really thought he was. Hello, Scott. Here's Scott calling us from the Bay Area, California, Oakland.
Body. Carmela Soprano. What a slut.
Great episode last night at the Sopranos. Lots and lots of interplay.
You know what shows me, though, that Carmella has that sexy thing going? Who got turned on when she had the makeout scene with the guy?
I did. Joe Penny.
Joe Mama.
I did.
I tell you, there's something. That was real heat that she had.
I thought she was going to give him a...
Yeah. Right there under the wallpaper.
As soon as she shut the bathroom door.
And then, he disses her because he finds out, you know, what a bad guy Tony is.
Right.
And
well, he might come back, though.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You never know.
He might come back for more.
She was ready for him, wasn't he, when the assistant showed up?
Carm Soprano is so horny.
She is horny.
Tony does not satisfy her needs.
Because Tony's always doing a bada-bing girl.
Is he?
Tony.
What a great show.
Tony.
Hey, but is it every episode that Tony's got to take off the shirt and show you his breast?
Yes, every episode.
Every episode.
I don't mind that. That's comical.
I can almost smell that.
When he comes in from a night of killing people, right. He just comes home and drops his pants and takes his shirt off and just crawls right in next to Carm.
Hard work being a mafia gangster.
Also, lots of great AJ last night.
Yeah, AJ,
all the Sopranos.
You know, they seem to be better shows when he gets a little camera time.
Yeah. I love the AJ. And AJ didn't even have to say anything.
I'm going to the mall.
I'm going with my friends. Pizza and stuff.
AJ shirtless.
That's right by the pool. Yeah. Oh, Buzz. Okay, very nice.
It was hard not to notice, you know what I mean?
Okay, all right. Smile. Keep my head something in my throat, Buzz. Excuse me.
Sorry.
AJ was
shirtless. A chubby kid. That's all I'm pointing
out. Yeah, you're right.
Out.
I know. Okay, right.
That's all I'm pointing out.
We'll lock him up. Right. Thank you, Buzz. Time out, everybody. We will be right back.
He's the dog.
Chilly, then much better on Sunday, windy and milder with a high of 62. Lauren?
All right, thanks, Dave. Their show has been described as raucous and raunchy, but that's not stopping hundreds of Wichitans from stopping by the Cotillion to catch the Don and Mike show. The cabaret-style show may be in fun, but some have questioned its legality, especially considering the city's recent ban on nudity. But in a behind-the-scenes interview with KSN, Don and Mike told us their show is well within city limits.
We never do. We really don't. That's the truth. We do not have problems with the police. We really, really don't. Do we?
Cops hassle us all the time.
He's lying.
No, we have no problem with the police. Love the police. Love the fact that they're out there, that they help us keep things under control.
He won't tell you, but this man right here will meet with whatever authorities are at the joint that we're going to do our show.
That is true.
And he will meet with them, and he says, you know, what can we do, what can't we do?
That was on local radio affiliate KFH this morning. Tickets to the show were free. Almost 2,000 were given away.
And you couldn't make it tonight. You had to work.
I know. Oh, I wanted to.
That would have been fun. More local news straight ahead on the Nice Week.
More local news. God damn it. Right. The Don and Mike Show.
You couldn't go to that show. Say I'm saying something that's not on a prompter for me right now, so I'm totally lost.
All right, they've sucked the energy out of the room now.
All right, here is Justin calling us from Rochester. He claims that his cousin is the wife of the guy on The Sopranos, the guy who was in Terminator.
Oh, really?
The guy who owes Tony Soprano money.
Yeah. Getting a lot of camera time, too.
All right, he claims that his wife, his cousin is that actress. Is that true?
Yeah, afternoon, guys. It sure is. Her name's Marisa Radani.
And she enjoying her experience?
She's been a bit actor for years, and this is obviously a big break for her.
Why don't you get her to call our show sometime?
Well, I could. Did she just call the 800 number? Talk to one of the guys?
Well, yeah, we'll give you a number, but I'm not like going to give you the hotline number.
I understand. No, that's fine.
Do you have her phone number?
I don't. I haven't seen her in a couple years, so, I mean, it's just one of the cousins in the family, but I guess I just wanted to pass along that Robert Patrick there, I don't know his character name. Do you know his name, the gambler guy?
No, I don't know his name on the show, but
he's Terminator. He's the guy that was in Terminator.
The cop in Terminator.
He does not get taken care of, plain and simple. They let him suffer.
Oh, you mean so he's going to linger?
He does, yeah. He does not expire, let's just say.
Oh, there's a little insight into the plot of
I'm
the
not
Sopranos.
Trying to ruin it for you guys, but I did talk to her.
I tell you, he was pretty close to taking care of himself last night.
Right, exactly. But it's cool. She loves it. She says the people are very nice, everybody on the show. Real.
I'd rather hear it from her. Why don't you get a hold of her?
That's fine. Do you want me to talk to Robbie or someone and get the number?
Couldn't you call someone in your family who has her phone number?
Yeah, sure.
All right, we'll do that and then call us back.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Take care, guys.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Call us crazy. We've had circumstances like that before when there really wasn't a cousin.
Right.
And then someone has our hotline and we have no Sopranos actress.
Correct. And then all of a sudden we get guys calling on the hotline saying F you and we have to change the number again.
Right.
Oh, you know what? I do want to give Buzz some props here. We certainly have had our fun with Buzz talking about his bad relationship with his dad and everything else. But I want you to know that last week, when I had Buzz pick, the first round of the NCAA tournament.
How about that? How did it turn out?
I had the biggest fag in the world pick.
That's right.
And Buzz, out of 32 games, correctly predicted 26 winners.
Oh, my God.
He was 26.
That is incredible.
How about that? 26 and 6.
That had to be, like, you had to have the best record in the pool.
In the first round.
I picked a number of upsets, including Gonzaga, which got a big laugh at the time.
You know, and if you hadn't had gone with Indiana, and I know you picked Indiana because you knew that I loved Bobby Knight.
Right.
And I think there was one other giant upset that you wanted to pick that I talked you out of.
Right.
You would have gone 28 for 32.
My God.
You know, there are guys, I told you, that's just how it works.
Done
and that's
what?
Why you did it. There are guys who pore over that material and can never figure it out, myself included. We asked the one guy who knows nothing about sports.
That's right.
And he had 26 out of 32 first round games correctly picked. Buzz, later this week, they're now down to the Sweet 16.
Right. Yes, they are.
I'm going to ask you again.
Okay.
Based strictly on whatever whim comes to you.
First thought that comes into your mind.
I'm going to ask you to pick the winner.
I'll make it a point not to study.
Okay, please don't. Please don't. Okay. But I'm telling you, that guy, that MF-er, picked upset.
I really thought Duke was going to get upset yesterday, too, and I was kind of bummed out. I mean, I watch occasionally. I don't like basketball as much as you do, but that game was interesting because it really looked like, you know, Coach K was finally going to get upset at the end. Well, you know, really, I mean, just that guy, why did he make that pass?
Duke is the 32nd NBA team, let's be honest. Yeah, they're a pro team.
Yeah, they're good. Just thought there was a chance they might get upset.
Yeah, a freaking pro team.
But Buzz Burbank, look at him. Buzz Burbank sports book.
Huh? Pretty good, huh? We will see you in USA Today.
I got to get you one of those infomercials.
That'd be great.
That runs on Sunday morning.
Got to get Buzz to, you know, say, I got a great parlay here.
Hi.
Wow.
I know nothing about sports, but during the NCAAs, I went 26 of 32.
I guarantee you, 15 winners a week. I'm Buzz Burbank.
Just call my special hotline for my play of the week. 1-800-WHY-DOESN'T-DAD-LOVE-ME. Buzz, you did an excellent job,
cool.
My friend.
Glad it worked out for you.
Now, this weekend, a couple of quick things I want to tell you about. First, I'm so pissed at my grocery store. That yesterday, never hold on. Here's Buzz's number one, 1-800-NO-SHIRT-AJ.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Rob.
Dial slowly.
This weekend, you know, we got back Saturday. All I did on Saturday was veg and sleep, and my family was wonderful about it. My wife wanted to go see Aaron Go Brockovich, and I said, I'm not going to the movies. And she said, well, let's wait until tomorrow. So Saturday I chilled. Sunday, we're going to go to the movies. I said, wait, you know what? I got to stop at the grocery store first.
Okay.
Because if I go to the movies, I like buying Chex Mix, and I like sneaking it in.
Ah, brilliant. In a little paper bag?
Yeah. One of those little...
Little Ziploc bags?
No, I'll just buy the little snack size.
You don't use the Ziploc bag and put it in your anal cavity? So none of the ushers can have any chance of finding you.
Do you know that I go to extraordinary lengths to hide the food that I bring into a theater?
I think it's a good theater seat, honey. Let me just get my Chex Mix out of here. Oh, man.
I will actually go through all the old bags in our pantry and find like a Banana Republic bag.
Mm-hmm.
And I will actually take a small bag of Chex Mix,
right,
put it in there, and put other junk in the bag with it.
Really?
Wow. So that I can walk into the movie theater and no one will question the fact that I'm bringing my own food in.
That's cool. I'm sure a lot of people do that.
So I said to my family on the way to the movies on Sunday, I said, oh, hold on, I gotta stop at the store and get my Chex Mix. I run into the store, I go to the aisle, and damn it, if everything's not in a different place. The whole store has been reorganized.
You get the generic Chex Mix in like the big barrel?
I get Chex Mix made by the Chex Mix Company.
Oh, you do? Okay, you get the name brand Chex.
You know I'm a name brand guy. I've never not been a name brand guy.
When you say the Chex Mix, I mean, is it cereal that you get or is it
it's a snack mix.
A snack, so it comes in a snack box.
Already made.
In a bag.
Okay.
Comes in these little, you buy them like, you remember the things your mom used to have where she would buy a pack that had like six little lunch size bags?
Yeah, sure. I get those for my daughter's snack bags.
That's what I buy. I buy one of those things and I bring one of those snack bags in the movies with me. So I go into the store, it's like I have a freaking panic attack when I walk in and I go to the aisle.
Am I in the right store?
And it's not there. And I look up at the sign and the sign says snacks, chips, dips.
Uh-huh.
And I look and it's water. It's all bottled water and distilled water. And I'm really in a slight panic. And I notice around me other people are doing the same thing. We're all just looking like this. And then somebody finally says out loud, they've moved things around.
We are all such lemmings in this country.
I'm the worst at this. So it takes me a long time to find the stuff, and frankly, I'm a little shocked. I get out to the car. My wife says, why does it take you 10 minutes to go in and just buy one? I said, because they moved everything.
Was the new location any more convenient, or was it just a total mistake?
Just two aisles away, and the reason, frankly, that it took me so long to the store was that I wanted to get the lay of the land.
Sure.
And what I did was, before I left, I just did a quick up and down every aisle.
The lay of the land, my lad.
Making a mental note, this is just with the stuff that I buy for myself.
Right.
This is where this is, this is where this is, this is where this is. So we get in the car, we go to the movies. On the way to the movie, here was the plan. My wife wants to see Aaron Brockovich.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see this movie.
Okay.
My son wants to see my dog, Spike.
I know that's with the Malcolm in the Mid kid.
Right. Malcolm in the Middle kid. I don't want to see that.
Okay.
I want to see Mission to Mars.
Right.
So what we've decided is that Aaron Brockovich is at 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Mission to Mars is at 1:05. My dog Spike is at 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just get to the movies, and we'll all go see our own separate movie.
Hey, that's terrific.
Meet afterwards. Yeah. Well, on the way there, my wife, who is not taking her hormone pills anymore,
mm-hmm,
had a hot flash and then got very emotional.
Okay.
And all of a sudden said, I think we should all go to the movie together. We're a family. And right away, my son and I both got guilted into it, and we said almost the same day, hey, Mom, let's all go to the Julia Roberts movie together.
Okay, now I understand.
So we all go to see Aaron
Brockovich. Aaron Brockovich.
Okay. My quick take? Real quick take.
Okay. Yes?
Sucked.
We both went to see this movie this weekend.
Sucked. It is, at best, a poorly produced TV movie. It is predictable. It was not entertaining. And I do not buy this whole push-up bra thing. Okay? That's one reason guys are going to the movie.
Right.
To see Julia Roberts' fantastic boobs.
Were you surprised when I told you my reaction to the movie when I came into the office today?
No.
I told him I went to see the same movie. Mm-hmm. I think it's the best movie I have seen since Titanic.
Okay.
Oh, no! I think that the movie will probably get an Oscar nomination. I think it was.
I don't doubt, because people are so stupid.
Well, if people are stupid for liking this movie, then I count myself among the great masses of stupid.
Yeah.
I have a
question.
It's
like if CBS took the movie Norma Rae and turned it into a Hallmark Hall of Fame movie.
I just have a question for you. How much of disliking this movie is based on the fact that you didn't want to go see it and that you don't like Julia Roberts to start
right.
with?
Really?
You're a little prejudiced
really,
to start with.
Really none, because I do like Albert Finney.
And Albert Finney's great in this movie.
I'm a huge fan of Albert Finney, who plays her boss in the movie.
And the chemistry, you didn't think that the chemistry between Julia Roberts and Albert Finney made the movie kind of move along?
I see the same chemistry, and watch any TV movie that Susan Lucci's in.
Oh my gosh, Susan Lucci,
Susan Lucci and James Brolin. A couple of things. Aaron Brockovich is so poor, right? Well, how does she get so many hot outfits?
That's what you were thinking.
Where does she afford the money for these hot outfits? Her kids.
That was her trademark, of
course. Her kids are eating macaroni and cheese out of a box.
Mm-hmm.
She dresses like a high-class whore
That's one of her flaws, you see. She spends more time thinking about her outfits. That shows one of her flaws as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
See, there are many flawed characters in this. That's what I liked about the movie.
Not too predictable.
Well, it's a true story.
Well, I'm sure it happened just like that.
No, it probably didn't happen just like that.
Because, they never take stuff in the movies and, change it around to make
it
better.
I'm sure that there were a lot of things that they changed around to make it better.
And coincidentally, as soon as Aaron Brockovich starts getting taken seriously, and as soon as people start saying, hey, there's more than just TNA to this woman, all of a sudden, her hair goes up.
Right.
What I mean is she starts wearing her hair up instead of wearing her hair down.
See, I think the whole thing is
she starts dressing more conservatively.
If you like Julia Roberts, then you tolerate all that. In fact, you enjoy all that about the movie. If you don't like Julia Roberts, it's all going to be... You're going to hate that because...
It's not Julia Roberts. It's not Julia Roberts.
It's all about Julia Roberts.
It's not Julia Roberts. But I'm telling you, that movie is worse than The Runaway Bride...
Oh, my God, The Runaway Bride was a bad movie.
That movie is worse than Notting Hill.
The movie is better than Notting Hill.
It is not.
It was a great movie.
You
want to
see the real movie about that sea? A little thing called Norma Rae. If you want to see a real movie about a woman who becomes, what's the word Oprah uses?
Empowered.
Empowered, yes.
Well, the theater that I was in, erupted into applause at the end.
So did all the idiots in my theater. And I, for the life of me, couldn't figure it out.
What
the hell is wrong with these people?
When you came in today and you said that you had seen that, and I was really interested. When you said it sucked, I was very, very surprised. Because, I know you don't like Julia Roberts, but I was surprised that you disliked it that intensely. And then I asked you what your wife thought of it, because I immediately wanted... And you said she thought it was too long, too, but...
She liked it.
She liked it.
She thought it was too long.
It was interesting, but we're going to have to be like Gibbs and Reeves today.
I know. Agree to disagree. But gee whiz.
I know you're mad at me because I liked it so much.
Go to a movie. Gee, let me see if I can figure this out before I even go. Julia Roberts, a woman with a lot of kids,
right.
Big boobs, no one takes her seriously. She lucks into this job at a law firm. Suddenly she uncovers all this stuff. Turns out she has a fantastic photographic memory. She can remember all of these facts. By the end of the movie, she's rich. Please.
And she tackles the bad guys, too.
She
gets them in trouble.
Modern hero, Aaron.
She was.
Aaron...
Brockovich.
Broccoli.
I'm sorry it angered you.
It did.
I am sorry.
It wasn't just a bad movie. I've seen my share of bad movies, and I tolerate them.
I understand.
This was a watch checker. This movie sucks.
Oh, I can't believe you feel that.
And I want you to check your pants.
Yes, and see if I have a penis.
I want you to make sure you have a penis.
It was, there was a guy that was probably on the page, because right at the end of that movie, the guy in back of me, like three or four rows back, said, "Chick flick, chick flick." And I turned around.
Would you start crying?
No, I dropped him.
Good for you.
Just right there. I'm sorry about assault charges, but I was very surprised at that. I was surprised at your reaction. I didn't expect you to have that reaction about the movie.
Sucks.
You wanted to see Mission to Mars, didn't you?
Yes, he did. Yes, I did. And F you, pedophile. Okay? There's nothing wrong with wanting to see Mission to Mars.
No,
okay?
Nothing wrong with that at all. I liked it so much that I would almost be willing to bet you that it gets an Oscar nomination.
For what?
I'm not prepared to go with Best Picture, but I think that either Albert Finney or Julia Roberts will probably get a nomination for Best Actor or Best Actress.
I'll take that bet right now.
Ooh.
I'll take that bet right now.
Okay. All right. Let me think about it. Because that's tough.
Name it.
Oscar is very tough to predict, especially they seem to go with movies that are later in the year. They don't always go with those.
True.
It's an awfully long time.
Name your terms.
We haven't even had the Oscars yet. It's obviously not eligible for...
This year, right?
It
would have to be next year's ceremony.
It's rare that it goes that long.
Very rare. I bet it'll win a People's Choice Award, though, Mike.
The People's Idiot Choice Award?
Yeah. You said it, not me.
Hello, idiots. Hello, my friend. Hello, good, trusted friend.
You know, it does look like a good movie, though, really.
What's that?
I told you, I saw the
ad. Oh, my God, you described that one to me.
For The Nutty Professor 2. And The Nutty Professor 2, it's called Nutty Professor 2, The Clumps.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's his family.
Right.
The whole movie is just Eddie Murphy doing all of the characters from The Nutty Professor.
Which was the only funny part of the original Nutty Professor movie with Eddie Murphy. So, it's got to be great.
That looked fantastic.
I can't wait till that comes out. That's coming out in the summertime.
Yeah, July 4th weekend, I think. That's when that's coming out. But don't waste your money with this Aaron Brockovich.
Run to the theater and see it.
No, please don't.
Run like the wind, my people. Run and applaud at the end like I
did. Just watch any made-for-TV movie
and you've got that. I'll leave you with one thing about that, and then you can have the last word on it. I will tell you that I find applauding after a movie is very jive. In this movie, I found myself applauding as well.
And I think I'd like to say you are the biggest fag I've ever met. That's it.
End go, Aaron. You go, girl.
Please eat me. we'll come right back. I promise.
Exactly.
Because she said, give it to me, give it to me. And then it went.
Was that his butt?
Yes, his bare butt at the beginning of that scene.
Oh,
yes.
Oh,
I had the same thought that he had pants on.
No.
That he had pants
on. No, just a disgusting wife beater. That's
no,
it.
We thought that he didn't have pants on, and it was just like, oh, that was.
We
just,
thought the same thing, too.
Oh, mm-hmm. Turbo gross. I mean, he's got, of all the men on the show,
Richie,
he's got the grossest body.
The ugliest.
And, of course, well, she actually looked better than he did. Which is amazing. She's fuggly.
I don't know about all that.
She is fuggly,
oh,
man.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's all so right. gross. His bare bottom.
Thank you, Catherine.
Well, you didn't answer my question.
What was the question?
Oh, when she says that it should be you.
No, we did say. We answered.
Yeah. That he should be the boss.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Catherine.
You just got, you know, we got kind of sidetracked there thinking about Richie's bare ass.
I'm pretty sure. I thought he had pants on.
No, he was really like, oh, God, that's so gross.
Right, that's a very brown ass, then. Hello, Terry.
Jeez, Don. Hey, I got a theory.
Oh, jeez, Don, you're such a shocker. Shock jock.
Go ahead, sir.
Dick Van Patten. You got an in with Dick Van Patten, right?
Sure I do.
Tim Van Patten directed the episode where they're over in Italy.
Speaking of a beautiful brown ass.
Hey, Rob, didn't I tell you that?
No, you didn't.
I said that to somebody.
Ah,
no, I said it to you.
I can't believe you didn't follow up on that.
Really? I said it to you in the production room a couple of weeks ago after The Sopranos. When I came in, I said, did you see the name of the director? Said Timothy Van Patten.
Maybe. I forgot.
Is Timothy, you got Vince, you got Nell.
I asked Rob, is Timothy one of the Van Patten clan? Because, yeah, he directed the episode a few weeks ago.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah, those Van Pattens, they're seriously, they're like an octopus reaching out into different areas of show.
Hey, give me DVP's phone number, please.
Eight is enough.
There you go.
Thank you, Terry. Should have remembered that myself. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Right.
Goodbye. Hello, Lon.
Jamie.
Lon.
Hello.
You're king of the lawn, sorry.
Elton.
Lon? Lon?
Hello!
How does Elton go to Lon?
Lon Helton.
Oh, Lon. I thought you said Elton as in Elton John.
Lon Helton.
Oh, the country DJ?
Yes.
Okay.
It was the columnist for Radio Records.
Hello, Lon.
Hello!
All right, forget Lon.
There you go. Bye, Lon.
Let's try to call Dick Van Patten.
No.
Hi. This is Dick Van Patten. You can cut through this penny. Either way, even if Dick and his wife, Pat, aren't there,
right.
They always have a funny, funny message on their machine.
Absolutely. Maybe they'll be there this time.
Hello?
Dick. Hey, Dick.
Hello?
Dick?
Yes.
You're on the air. This is your these are your buddies, Don and Mike.
Hiya, Don.
Hey. Dick Van Patten. How are you, Dick?
Oh, very good. I miss you. I was in Richmond, Virginia there for a while.
You were in a play down there, right?
For 8 weeks, and I thought I could get up to see you, but I never got a chance. We were rehearsing every day, and it was just impossible.
Hey, Dick, we just had a quick question for you.
Yes.
Do you have a son named Timothy?
Yeah, well, that's my brother.
Oh, that's
he directs The Sopranos.
Oh, okay, the question has been answered. It is one of the Van Pattens.
You've got to...
That's my kid brother, and he's doing really well. He's booked for the next 2 years.
You have got to get us an interview with your brother. We love The Sopranos.
We're big fans, and we'd love to talk to him about it.
All right. You want me to give you his phone number, and you can call him?
Oh, beautiful. Hold on just a second.
I gotta go in the house and get it.
All right, hold on.
Are you playing tennis?
What?
Are you playing tennis?
Yeah, I'm just out here playing tennis, but I'll run in and take me 1 minute.
Okay. All right, hold on. Rob, why don't you go ahead?
You have the relationship with him.
Sure.
Absolutely,
look.
That'll be great. It'll take him a while to get into the house because you've got to negotiate around all of the crap.
It's like Fred Sanford's house.
Really?
He's been to Dick Van Patten, right?
Really, there's a lot of stuff. You know, a lot of boys. There's a lot of exercise equipment. A lot of stuff out in the yard.
The garbage can.
There's a slam man out there.
There really is.
There is.
There really is.
Oh, God, that's killing me.
Hold on. Let me hear the conversation now. And Rob?
He's not back yet.
Okay, but when he gets back? Have a conversation. Engage him with conversation.
Okay.
You know, say, hey, it's your buddy Rob.
Oh, yeah, because you took him to the Chinese restaurant
right.
that he loves.
Right. Get to hear some behind the scenes right now.
Rob is tight with Dick Van Patten.
DVP.
DVP, isn't that great?
Yeah. You know, God bless him. You know what? He's the only goddamn celebrity. Well, he's not even a celebrity anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only guy who used to be a celebrity who
right.
we call up, who is genuinely happy to hear from us.
He was, hey, hey. But how about those Van Pattens, huh? Talented family, huh?
Yeah.
What a bunch.
Hold on, here we go.
No.
Oh, he's still out there. Playing tennis. Of course he's playing tennis. Mm-hmm. He's got two courts. One at Vincent's house next door and one in his backyard.
His son Vincent, we were out there.
How you doing?
Oh, here we go.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. You know, my wife and I were talking this weekend. We might be heading out to L.A. around July. We're wondering if we could take you out to dinner when we're out there.
Oh, Christ.
Oh, if you want to pay, I'll let you pay. Sure.
Listen to him.
You know, it's... Uh-huh.
He's getting the number right now. He's getting it. Tell him we're on in New York now.
Well, you know, we're on in New York City now. So the next time you're there, we're on WNEW. Is that 102.7, I think.
Is that where his brother lives?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, is he living in New York or just working in New York? Fantastic. How much younger is he than you? A 30-year age difference? Wow. Okay. Okay, your parents got divorced.
Listen to him.
Right.
You're listening to Rob Spiewak talk to TV's Dick Van Patten. They have a special relationship.
Okay.
That's why we've signed off and had Rob take care of it.
Let the boys negotiate this.
Yeah.
But we can tell them that we have a reference from you. Okay, we absolutely will. Oh, you're very close? Good. All right, well, Dick, nice talking to you, and good luck out on the court, and we'll...
Is that what is he saying to Rob?
We have to get together. I'll buy dinner. We'll go Chinese. That's a long, long speech.
Okay, we'll make sure we mention that.
He's plugging something.
His plug.
Right. See you later, Dick. Take care. Bye-bye.
What's he want to plug?
You love that man, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Your second father.
Joyce Van Patten. But Dick Van Patten has never told me he loves me. Joyce Van Patten opens at the Long Acre Theater on Broadway in 2 weeks. Go see her show with Adam Arkin.
Okay. Go see Joyce.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Joyce Van Patten.
Right after you go see Kathy Lee, I'll go see Joyce Van Patten.
All right, well, Rob, you know, call Timothy Van Patten and set him up on the show sometime.
Absolutely.
Tell him his brother, Big Dick.
Yep.
Big Dick Van Patten. He's 30 years older.
Yes, so he would be Big Dick Van Patten.
Big Dick Van Patten said that we should call him for an interview about The Sopranos.
Actually, he's my half-brother.
Ah, half-brother, that's okay.
But we're very close. 30 years difference, though.
Big Dick Van Patten.
Gotcha.
Hey, Buzz.
Yes.
Buzz, what is your lead story tonight on the news and the comments?
Tonight, a new study says our sperm is okay after all.
Oh, great.
Are you listening, Toya?
Are you listening?
Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up. The Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very
professional.
Scott Shannon. And
Shannon.
And he sends me stuff.
For those who serve.
There is some internet site for people to write about New York radio.
Right.
It's like all of the radio files, all of the idiots who just J-O when they listen to radio.
Sure.
And then, like, they write about how great it was when Cousin Brucey was a DJ, when Dan Ingram was a DJ.
Sure.
All of these guys, our show has been on 2 weeks,
uh-huh.
And Shannon sent me 3 pages of guys just running us down.
Really?
Saying that our show is boring.
Oh, no.
There's nothing good about this show. I got to remember to bring it in and read them tomorrow.
Very good.
It's the funniest goddamn thing you've ever read.
It means we're getting noticed. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I'd sure like to hear it. My friend told me that Mike does a real good Hank Hill. I'd sure like to hear that.
Duh! Does the best,
right,
Hank Hill.
Glad you're here.
I will tell you that. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Are they writing about us?
You know, I'm going to bring that in tomorrow, read you some of these messages. Because generally we ignore most of the crap on the internet, because that's what it is. It's just crap.
Right.
And this is really crap, but it's so funny because it's some type of New York nerd message thing where these guys get on it and write incredibly long, drawn-out diatribes.
I can't wait.
About New York radio. It's the funniest goddamn thing I've ever written.
That's good.
I've ever read. And a lot of the stuff about us is 100% negative,
uh-huh.
Which is fine.
That's good.
You know, I love the fact that these geniuses who sit and pull their puns, mm-hmm. and listen to every radio station in town after 2 weeks have decided that we're not going to make it in New York.
It's not the first time. We're looking forward to a good long run in NYC.
Love it. They'll remind me. I'll bring that in tomorrow, and then we'll really hit on that when we go up to New York.
Absolutely.
I'd like to have one of those douchebags that runs that message board on the air.
Hi, man.
Right.
Yeah, my pocket protector.
I'll bring it in tomorrow. You will laugh your ass off.
Oh, good.
Not only the stuff about us.
Right.
But the comments about all the radio stations in general.
Sure, they get into everybody, right?
Sure, that these guys, you know, these guys just sit around with their thumb up their ass all day. They know how to program stations better than the guys that are programming.
I'll look forward to reading that. I will.
It is truly funny. And then now here is Buzz.
Well, there's been much discussion about...
Who's not funny.
No, not at all.
He's serious.
He's a journalist.
Very sad.
Yes.
You know, with his dad and everything.
No love and all that.
Depressing.
Right. There's been a lot of discussion.
And he's got a thing for AJ.
Yeah.
On The Sopranos.
We just found that out today. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't know that you that far.
Well, none of us remember that AJ was featured shirtless.
Yes, you did.
You
pointed that out.
Your eyes lighted up when I told you about it.
No, well, only because they lit up only... My eyes didn't light it up. My eyes lit up only because I was thinking, wow, Buzz remembered that AJ was shirtless.
And my eyes are light every time I hear AJ's name mentioned.
Of course.
Especially when he talks about ZD.
No weapon ZD.
Well, there's been a lot of discussion about this, but good news. Our sperm is all right after all.
Thank God.
Who said it was bad? Well, there have been studies in recent years that say that our sperm counts are down. They're dropping rapidly and substantially.
Jesus, I didn't know that.
The theories included tight underwear. They thought maybe that tight underwear was making it too hot down there and that
I
we weren't
it.
Producing as much.
You said jizz. I didn't know that.
That's right.
Like jizz.
Amazing by Jesus. But they thought pollution. They thought maybe pollution was
Jesus
one of the causes.
Jesus H. Christ.
Or they thought the fact that so many of us are sitting at desks all day.
Jesus Louise.
They thought those might be some of the reasons that the sperm count was down. But a new study says the average sperm counts for American men have not changed over the past 50 years.
Keep killing me.
Researchers from USC studied 1,300 men in the late 1990s and found practically no difference from the sperm counts of the early 1950s.
www.askjizz.
The Supreme Court. The Supreme Court says the
Okay, you're on your own there.
Thank you.
I knew I went to the well one too many times. The Supreme Court says the sheriff in Phoenix is within his rights to ban Playboy magazine in his jail.
He's a mean sheriff, that guy.
Notoriously tough, and this ruling came down today. They say the sheriff of Maricopa County has banned art and photographs of men and women that feature frontal nudity.
You know, I say, why don't we bring this guy to Baltimore and have him take Palczynski out?
Be interesting to see how he'd handle that.
Yeah, what's the latest with that Palczynski guy? You got that coming up?
As a matter of fact, I do, yeah. There have been, as I said earlier, more shots fired today. Normally, the shots were fired out of the house. Today, they were fired inside the house. Police, of course, are still not saying much about what's going on.
It's Palczynski who's shooting in the house.
Well, if he still has control of the gun, and we assume he does, yeah, that would be him doing the shooting. Police still aren't talking about it much, but they say no one was seriously hurt.
You know, again,
so they know that nobody inside the house has been hurt.
They know that no. They're saying to us that no one has been seriously hurt.
Okay, if this guy is shooting in the house,
right?
And if I'm getting here that you're referencing the fact that the cops are saying in veiled terms,
right,
that some of the hostages may have been shot and may be injured. You know, at what point don't we just say, you know, break down the door, get the police sharpshooters, and just take this punk out?
I don't know.
Are we going to allow him to just sit in there and get his Waffle House food every morning and watch cable TV?
Kind of like that guy's idea about, you know, sending him the drugged waffle. I would hope and guess that the police have a better bead on this than we do at this point. Palczynski's wanted in the murders of four people. The hostages are relatives of his ex-girlfriend, who police say he also kidnapped briefly. Now, back to the prison in Phoenix, where they can't have Playboy magazine. And the Supreme Court backed up that rule today. Critics say the policy is a violation of free speech. They point out that the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue is okay, but a picture of the Statue of David is not under the sheriff's rules. The rule was challenged by an inmate who wanted to continue his Playboy subscription, but the court, as I said today, sided with the sheriff.
Well, those inmates could certainly J.O. to the Sports Illustrated issue.
That's why God gave us a mind, an active imagination.
Right.
You really think hard enough, you can J.O.
But I'm so lazy, I need the stimulation.
Aren't we all, though? I mean, and if we have it, we use it. But, I mean, don't you think if you're, you know...
And imagine me, since I gave up porno for Lent.
Yeah, and has it ever been one of our sex quiz questions? Have you ever been able to do that with no stimulus at all? You know, just
I can tell you the answer is yes.
I have too.
Yes,
I'm having to realize.
You know, and I'm realizing now with all those answers that was even. It's like a rhetorical question because of
now we know it is.
Everyone has. You know, you say, oh, well, you don't have the visual stimulus.
I'm going totally on it now since I gave up porno for Lent.
Really?
Yeah, it's killer.
That's gotta be.
It's a killer.
Is it? Maybe it's good. It's good
no,
for
it's
your
not.
Fantasy mind.
No, it's not. It takes longer.
Wow. Yeah, so you've given it up. You haven't cheated once.
I have not, and my wife can certainly go check on the DirecTV bill. And okay. Find out.
Now, if you live...
Not one porno, I swear to God.
I believe you.
Not one.
If you live under the sheriff's rules, you still have the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, and you still have Victoria's Secret catalogs. They can still have those in the jail.
I used to do that when I was a boy.
Right.
You know,
I'm
almost 42 goddamn years old. Right. I think I can... Hey, hope by just using my mind.